This is PFW in progress.
I got a judge that's just aching to throw me in jail. I got no money, a dress code problem, not to mention your biological clock. Is there any more shit we could pile on to the top of the outcome of this case? Is it possible?
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
All right, knock it off. You know, you ragging on me is not going to give me any great spontaneous knowledge.
Paul Perillo.
You just keep on asking about Chinese food. Can't you tell they don't have Chinese restaurants around here? Gotta let everybody know you're a tourist.
And Andy. And Andy?
Everything that guy just says is bullshit. Thank you.
Andy Hart.
Let me see. This is a tough decision you're going to get. Get my ass kicked to collect $200. What do you think? I could use a good ass kick, and I'll be very honest with you.
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
You stick out like a sore thumb around here.
Me? What about you?
I fit in better than you. At least I'm wearing cowboy boots.
Oh, yeah, you blend.
FNG, Mike Parenti.
Imagine you're a deer. You're prancing along. You get thirsty. You spot a little brook. You put your little deer lips down to the cool, clear water.
PFW in progress. Part of the Patriots Football Network.
Bam! Bullet rips off part of your head. Your brains are laying on the ground in little bloody pieces. Now I ask you, would you give a what kind of pants a son of a who shot you was wearing?
Good afternoon and welcome to PFW in Progress. I am your guest host, Mike Parenti, sitting across from a bloated Andy Hart who just downed half a pastrami sandwich.
And you ask, why is Andy eating a half a pastrami sandwich?
Ask Dan Twogender.
Other than the steak and cheese he ordered? Because Twogender sucks. That's why.
Anyway, we have a skeleton crew today, just Andy and I for now. Paul Perillo may join us later. He is tending to some stuff going on right now. Fred Kirsch upstairs swamped, may not join us. Eric Scalavino is off painting some portraits. So it's just the two of us.
I want to hear from Fred. Today was one of them and he's not here.
Well, that's unfortunate. We have a lot to get to anyway, Gary. I think we can handle it. Andy and I are intellectual minds. We have a lot to talk about. The Jets, Patriots on Sunday. The Patriots went to the Meadowlands and took care of business. A 19-10 victory in Matt Castle's first career start. We have a lot of that. A couple of transactions
since high
as well.
School. You got to say since high
school. I didn't know that. He hadn't started a game since high school?
Yeah.
No kidding.
Chatsworth High School, 1999.
Yeah, I hadn't heard that at all.
They lost.
For the past 10 days. I had nightmares about Chatsworth High School. Never even heard of the place. How are you today, Andy?
I'm not so good because I didn't get my lunch that Daniel Twogender screwed up. Everybody else loves John in South Carolina. Andy, not so much.
We really love John in South Carolina, not only for today's lunch, but for the whoopie pies.
I was in love with him last week. For
just
the whoopie
so
he
I
sent me.
Defend myself, as I just showed Andy the email chain I had back and forth with John in South Carolina.
Clearly that's been photoshopped.
That is incorrect.
Yeah, the correction doesn't put the steak sandwich in Andy's stomach,
that's
does
right.
it?
So I had to cut off a little nub from Paul Perillo's pastrami.
Paul doesn't eat that whole sandwich anyway.
Nub my ass. You cut off half the sandwich.
I did not. I cut off a half of a half. Some people call that a quarter.
That is a big sub for a large, by the way. Was that the extra
large? Go bleep yourself.
It was the great divide.
Paul doesn't eat a whole pastrami sandwich anyway.
He doesn't. I've never had pastrami before, but you can feel yourself dying while eating it.
Consider this a reach out to Paul Perillo and his health.
What's the difference between pastrami and bacon?
It looks the same.
Because it looks the same.
It looks like a bacon
sandwich.
And
normally people eat bacon as like a side. You put a couple slices on
Bacon's
something.
Bacon's good for you.
That was a whole sub full of greasy, salty, bacon-like meat.
Who tells you bacon's good for you? The Atkins diet?
Yeah, where's that guy?
Isn't that
no, the
rumor?
Bacon
dead.
People
dead.
Over pastrami.
Okay.
Imagine that if you added bacon to a pastrami sub. You would just die on the spot.
Anyway, this is a football
Paul could
show.
Could at any point.
So let's talk
but
a little
Chris
football.
Ferreira was upset. He said shows have been lacking lately.
Lacking
not
what?
Enough tangents. Too much football talk has been getting in the way.
Oh, God,
I told him,
talk
sorry,
football.
The week that Tom Brady goes down for the year, we happen to talk football and how the team will react.
Yeah, well, yeah maybe next week we can talk with Chris. The VMAs.
Chris is an idiot.
Yeah, Chris is an idiot.
Monkey. Wanted to trade tickets with me. We get season tickets here, right?
Ferreira so I'm looking, sucks. Merry Christmas.
I'm looking to get tickets for a guy to help him out. And I go, Bill's game. He wants to. That's one of the games he wants to go to. It's a Sunday at 1. It's a nice, easy game.
Nice, easy game.
So I go, Chris, I'll trade you Steelers for Bills. Oh, Steelers. I'll have to think about it. I don't know if I really want to give up the Bills game.
Idiot.
I'm trading him the best team in football for the Bills.
Doesn't he know Mendenhall's on the Steelers?
Mendenhall is ridiculous.
You wouldn't know by the stat sheet.
Sorry, Gary.
He doesn't play.
I interrupted Gary's little plug in there. You've done that before, so I know I get the look from Gary.
Yeah, I tend to interrupt. Gary gets really mad if you reference
steal
a soundbite before he can find it as
steal
he's punching
Gary's
it out
thunder.
On his little computer.
Sorry. I'm sorry, okay?
How about this one?
Mark Tape, McFadden stinks.
Yeah, how's that working out for you?
He had one game.
The Beast.
A lot of running backs have had good games in this league.
The Chiefs suck.
Yeah.
That is pathetic. They got beat down by the Raiders. The Raiders are the worst team I've ever seen.
Actually, let's look at it this way.
The Raiders are the second.
They have a coach who doesn't want to be there, is trying to get fired. The owner's going to fire him, so it's just a sinking ship, and they blew the Chiefs out of the water.
Coordinator hates his guts.
Right.
I mean, it's like
he's
a
swearing, dropping
family.
F-bombs, and yet they still killed the Chiefs. Wow. How bad are the Chiefs? They're bad.
And how bad are the Jets after what we saw on Sunday? Andy, are you a little uncertain now about the pick of the Jets making the playoffs? Because I am. I put the Jets in the playoffs. Not to mention the fact we both took the Jets on Sunday, so we were wrong about that.
The Jets stink. Clearly, as you asked me on the plane, they are not as good as the sum of their parts. I thought the moves they made in the offseason were good. I thought they were going to be a much improved team. I didn't see that. I saw bad coaching, bad playing. And as you start to put all these early season games in order, Fred Kirsch is a big fan of, we don't know where we are till the middle of the season because you don't know who's good, who's bad. I'm pretty sure the Chiefs, Jets, and Dolphins are going to end up as bad football teams. Because the Dolphins stink, we've been proven right there. The Chiefs stink, we've been proven right there. And the Jets barely beat the Dolphins, so they must stink. And the Patriots beat all three to open the year. Well, they will beat the Dolphins next week.
Will.
So they're going to open the year 3-0, head into the bye, and everybody's going to go, woohoo!
Hey, Andy.
Speaking of Chris Ferreira.
I have another reason you can...
You found a steak and cheese sub?
No, I have another reason you can kill Dan, though. He neglected to start the encoder. So the first 5 minutes of the make it 10 minutes of the program were not going to the internet. So if you could go over that pastrami rant again, that would be tremendous.
You are an asswipe.
What is wrong with you? Can we end this internship, this experiment?
Are you still an intern?
Who do you know? Why are you here?
Full time here?
Who's your dad? Does your dad own like
a
powerful bank or something?
Just got 9 emails about the server not working. So
why are you here?
This whole show is going down the drain.
When did the first one come?
When did the first one come? Try 12:05. It is now 12:09.
So why didn't you see that 5 minutes ago?
I'm trying to host a show here.
I'm trying to blame somebody.
Are you serious?
It's always someone else's
you
fault.
You really are Chris Ferreira Jr. It's always someone else's fault. Take some responsibility for yourself.
Freaking 12:09.
You're not an intern. You really are a full-time employee, so take some responsibility for yourself. Talk into the mic if you're going to yell stuff.
Reason number three.
You're single-handedly ruining this show. It's an important week here. Matt Cassel won his first career start, his first start ever since high school, and you're ruining this week. That's hard to do, and you're doing it. You screwed up the lunch order. You screwed up the show. You just suck. You don't help in the entertainment department. Have you nothing to say for yourself, greasy-haired chump?
He's eating his pocket.
Yeah, he got his lunch. Notice that order didn't get screwed up. That's probably at the top of the email.
You did get half a pastrami sub. I mean, let's be
real. Yeah, and I'm
going
to die because of it. Wasn't as healthy as the large steak and cheese with extra cheese I ordered.
Anyway,
do I really need to re-rant, Gary? John, we love you, except me, because I didn't get my sub, thanks to Two Gender, or you. One of you two is an idiot.
Well, since Two Gender just got a tongue lash, let's go
on to Andy
Hart
for a second.
Andy Hart, we have some emails addressed to you from Christy in D.C.
It
says, you suck. You suck.
She
said,
was
that you posting online about me going down this weekend in fantasy? Interesting. Okay. Perhaps in your fantasy, my friend.
Well, that's true.
Oh, she also ends by asking, so who's doing the going down now?
Me.
Looks like you're both winning that one, huh?
I went down and I went down hard.
Too bad I'm in D.C., she says. So Christy propositioning herself for Andy Hart.
I'm interested.
Just thought I know I'm a little interested too, actually. So
don't tell my wife.
Too bad. Well, she won't know because the show's online.
That's true. Nobody can hear any of this.
Andy can announce his infidelity on the air. No one's going to hear it.
I won't do that either, even if it's not being...
Oh, strippers chimes in. Mendenhall.
Is this going to be a tough week for Andy Hart here?
Yes, it is.
Because they haven't even broached the topic I thought I was going to get killed for.
Also, according to strippers, the feed is finally up. Thanks, Two Gender. We appreciate that 10 minutes
Thanks.
Of the show.
Thanks.
To get back to our original point.
So now,
will that first
10 minutes be available on the podcast?
Probably not.
Yes.
Screwed now.
Are you sure?
It will be heard.
Why
eventually.
Am I asking you? You don't know
It will
anything.
Be heard.
You can't order food. You can't run a show. Gary.
The podcast archive will be fine.
Okay.
Thank you.
Can we fire Two Gender on the air here? It would be entertaining. Part of this show. The end of the Two Gender era. Can we?
E-R-R-O-R.
Gary, I don't know what he does except ruin things.
Andy, I will take a week off.
You're a wet
blanket.
You'll
see how much you miss me. You'll see how much you miss me.
I never miss you. You screw
we
up.
We wouldn't have lunch for
one out of every two food orders.
Oh, we wouldn't have lunch for
screw
what?
Screw it up.
Name
day?
The last time his food order got screwed up.
When a guy wanted to buy Thursday and you said, no, we already have somebody.
Yeah, how about
the day
was not existent? That would be screwing it up.
You never schedule people in advance.
I did. That was Ethan. He said he was away and he couldn't buy the next week.
You stink.
My dad's going to buy lunch at some point. Don't screw that one up either.
Yeah. You just handle that lunch order because Tuchander is
might as well just have him come
Rocco
in and bring the whoa,
whoa, whoa. Buy lunch.
Your dad's name's Rocco?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Real name?
Yeah.
Like Rocco Baldelli?
Like Rocco
the spell there? Rocco? R-O-C-O?
R-O-C-C-O.
Oh, there's two C's.
One C. Who spells Rocco at one C?
I don't know. I don't know who. I don't know any Roccos.
Not anymore, you know. Anyway, back to the game on Sunday. We
well said
get
by
into
Todd
that.
Porter.
Todd Porter?
Show not on, dot, dot, dot. Let me guess. Mini Gary is there today. You suck. You know who ran that board better than
you? Suck,
Lori Baranski didn't know what a single button on that board did, and she did a better job than you.
Touche.
She looked better doing it, you greasy hair.
He was just like, here, hold this. And I said, okay.
Okay. Jump. We've gotten some emails to end the amateur hour.
I don't know who they're playing next.
If I have an amateur producer, I'm going to have an amateur show. That's all there is
but
to
doesn't
it.
Exactly. Anyone
we
talk
can't help.
Football.
We can't help what's going on right now.
Doesn't anyone want to talk about Kevin Falk? That's what I thought I was going to get killed
Kevin
for.
Falk?
Remember when I said he had diminishing skills? Well, let's see.
There's some in there, too.
He ran the ball. He caught the ball. He looked like the reincarnation of Devin Hester on punt returns. I haven't seen Kevin Falk return punts like that in years. He looked phenomenal.
He did look great.
I was wrong.
Agree.
Apparently, all he needed was a week off.
And
the league gave
off.
Him that in week one.
Well, yeah. Lil Wayne gave him the week off. But I agree with you 100%.
He was phenomenal.
Yeah, and special teams are going to be important here, too, with the field position battle, because you don't really know going forward how much you want to get from Matt Castle. You wanted him to start in the best field position as possible, and Kevin Falk returning punts the way he did allows him to do that.
On the other side, apparently Steven Gostkowski's on Fred Kurse's juice
program. Oh, man, he was kicking the ball
booming
through
him.
The stadium on Sunday.
He was the first
five
direction
touchbacks.
Was with the wind, I believe, but
yeah.
Then they swapped
well,
for
was
the
still
second quarter,
he was still
and he drove
the
a
end
line
zone.
Drive through the end zone again.
And the only one that got brought out, Ray Bubba Ventrone, knocked down Leon Washington at
Bubba.
20. So they never got the ball past the 20.
And a side note you can only get here on PFW in Progress, Bubba Ventrone was going neck and neck with Roger Holman from WBCN.
Trivia
in the trivia on the Delta flight back. And I believe Holman might have pulled out the last-minute victory. But afterwards, Bubba came up and introduced himself. He goes, hey, are you Rojo? Because everybody signs in with little logins. Hey, I'm Bubba. Nice to meet you.
It was fantastic. And
so
you know,
trivia. Trivia.
Oh, yeah. We have great planes now. We have trivia, TV, movies all right at your seat
Sopranos
with a little TV
episodes,
screen.
Entourage, ESPN.
It's great.
And Roger's very good at
by the
trivia,
way,
so for Ventrone to come in second in a close second says a lot about Bubba Ventrone's football intelligence.
Probably talk about because people like to hear about.
People love to hear that. They don't want to hear about football.
Andy
about
Hart is dominant in trivia.
You
three
won
out of
game.
His last. No. Three out of the last four I've won, dating nonsense. Back two trips ago. People wouldn't know because I signed in as Jake E. I don't know what it means.
You
but.
Flubbed a very easy question. Which one was that?
I don't know. I tend to mess them up.
You
but
screwed
sort of
up
like
the
Stevie
Wonder
pursuit.
Question on one trip too.
I don't know. Maybe like Jake's.
Yeah, that's where I got it from. Because I didn't want to log in as me because I was like, I don't want anybody knowing who this is in case I embarrassed myself here.
I'm paranoid.
Yeah, no question.
Okay, but I do agree. Football? Yeah, I do agree with that. A little bit of football, a little bit of field position talk. I like what the Patriots
yourself?
Did on
Mark
special
Tape,
teams.
McFadden stinks.
I had a tough week.
Okay, enough of the crap. But seriously, all kidding aside, we talked about during the week how with Castle at quarterback, they're going to have to do other things to win football games, and other people are going to have to step up. Other.
Doing cows?
Defense, special teams, and we saw it on both ends on Sunday. The defense with a big goal line stand in the first
Huge.
Half. Up 6-0. Jets have the ball, first and goal at the 3. They curiously run it 3 times. Now, I'm calling out Eric Mangini for the play calling on both sides of the ball in that game. I thought his coaching was horrendous. I think Belichick coached circles around him. But
it's a big circle, too.
It is a very big salad. Circle. Because
he's not mixed in a salad.
No, he has not dropped some LBs.
I bet you he's eating some pastrami.
He probably could eat that
he
whole thing.
He puts bacon and cheese
bites.
On his pastrami.
He eats a bacon sandwich, probably. Why even skip the pastrami? But
he's on the Homer Simpson diet.
In any event, defense now in 2 weeks.
Dead soon.
Two games,
he's
2 weeks. Two goal line stands.
Yes.
And it's a big
red
deal
zone,
in the
baby.
Red zone because last year they were horrendous in the red zone. So if they can step up that now, Andy, going forward, this team has a chance.
And more importantly, I think it showed up not only on that goal line stand, but in general, the defense had a chip on its shoulder. Richard
yes.
Seymour admitted to that. Talked about how, you know, last year we were always big favorites, and it was obviously an offensive-led team. But there's a lot of good defensive players on this football team, and they were ready to show that. And I think for the most part they did. They gave up some plays.
Of course.
But all the great defenses of Patriots past gave up plays.
The 0-1 defense gave up a lot of plays.
When it got to the bottom line, which is first and goal from the 3, they end up kicking a field goal. And Bill said it best, you know, if you allow them to score there, they wipe out Matt Castle because it's now 7-6 Jets. So his first drive was tremendous. I think you could
yes.
not – there's no better description of that drive than Brady-like. He went 4 of 5 or 5 of 6, drove right down the field. They stalled. They kicked the field goal. So, you know, it's not perfect, but now you're up 6-0. If you wipe that out with a 7-6, momentum swings there. That's big.
Absolutely.
So the defense comes up and does their job. The red zone, as you said, they've talked about it all offseason, wanting to be better in the red zone.
We didn't really discuss it much until after the first game, but they all said it was an offseason priority, and should have been. And that's going to be the key for them. And I think, and I'm glad Seymour came out and at least admitted that, yeah, the defense carried us. I mean, the offense carried us last year. Because I don't think any of us were knocking the defense saying they couldn't do it. We said they need to do it. They have to step up. Not that they can't step up, but we will see down the road if they do. And so far, so good.
I would say
that. 2 games, they have done the job.
That goal line stand, the Brandon Merriweather interception, and the Adalys Thomas sack were 3 instances where the defense made plays to either change the game or ensure that the game maintained the way it was going, as I would say with the last 2 plays. Merriweather, the pick, sets up another touchdown, extends the lead, snuffs out any Brett Favre rally there, and then really the last rally gets snuffed out by the 20-yard Adalys Thomas sack. I thought the defense really stepped up. Ty Warren, to me, had a dominant game.
He was great.
And yet,
particularly in the first half,
didn't do anything like that you really show up on the highlights. You know, I haven't really seen him written about, but watching that game, he was dominant as much as Seymour and Thomas and other guys that showed up in the stat column were.
You know, I also thought, too, in the third quarter, as big as that goal line stand was in the first half, I thought the first defensive series by the Patriots in the third quarter was the turning point of the game because the Jets had forced a quick 3-and-out. Crowd's now into the game. It's 6-3. Favre takes over, and then all of a sudden the Jets start to shoot themselves in the foot. They commit about 3 penalties in the first 5 plays. And then on a long yardage situation, Favre tries to step up and make an awkward play. He tries to make that gunslinger thing going on, which he had done a couple of times in the first half with some success. This time he underthrows the ball. Brandon Merriweather.
It's an utter embarrassment.
It is. Comes up with his first career interception. And from that point on, Pats get the ball at the 31. They go in and score. And that pretty much ends it. 13-3.
And he caught the ball.
And he caught the ball this time.
Didn't Brandon Merriweather it? And anyone who needs to
God
know that means
him.
Go to UrbanDictionary.com.
But that's a big stand right there. Again, another situation where you have them pinned back a bit. You have them in long yardage, and you have to take advantage.
And I also thought, talk about turning back the clock, this was one of those games I thought the Patriots pretty much dominated.
I did, too.
It doesn't look like, you know, it's not 52-3 or some ridiculous score, but this was a little bit back, you know, like what we've been talking about, those 2003-type victories where they controlled the game for the most part, and they were able to make the key plays to keep it that way. But, you know, I thought they dominated in a lot of facets, and I think everybody must agree with me because I read some of the report cards, and there's glowing grades from guys like John Tomasi and Mike Felger in their report cards. So, good win, but I think the way we started the show, although no one heard it apparently because Two Genders sucks, you still have to be cautious here. Cautiously optimistic because clearly the Chiefs suck. The Jets, I think, clearly aren't as good as we thought they were. They barely could beat the Dolphins. And now the Dolphins coming up, you might get a 3-0 false sense of security that might not tell the whole tale of this team at this point.
Well, you know, you look down the road, who's good in this conference?
Nobody. The Steelers.
The Steelers. The Chargers are 0-2. Granted, they got
screwed.
Steelers
won 10-6 because Romeo goes, I'm going to kick a field goal here down 7.
Yeah, that was brilliant. The Chargers got screwed on Sunday. We all saw what happened with Ed Hockley blowing the call. Not necessarily blowing the call, but the rule itself.
There was no
foul
on the play. It was not a hold. The defender was just overpowered.
But why does the NFL have to wait until something like this happens to revise its rule book? Certain rules that you read, and you go back and you read them, you say, this doesn't make any sense.
Right.
This is stupid. One of them I thought was the tuck rule. That should be a fumble.
Right.
But it's not. The call was made correctly. The rule sucks. In this case, I think the rule sucks, too. And the Chargers get screwed out of a game. But as it stands, they are 0-2. And as history suggests, it's tough to go from 0-2 to the Super Bowl.
They're 0-2. The Colts are 1-1 and lucky to be so.
Barely 1-1.
There's no good teams right now.
15 in the second half at Minnesota.
Except for the Steelers.
And I'm not too sold on Minnesota, either. I'm not how they went down 2 touchdowns to the Vikings.
Minnesota stinks.
If the Colts need that to win games, it's going to be a long season.
I got to tell you.
Is ridiculous.
Ridiculous on the sideline, but
they're really missing Jeff Saturday in Indianapolis, by the way.
Oh God, watching
you
that game.
You saw the pressure.
We've always said over the years, Peyton Manning doesn't get sacked because he doesn't get hit. He's getting hit. He's making up for it, and he's going to go down. He's in that phase where we've talked about at times. Tom Brady takes a lot of hits and miraculously gets up. Peyton Manning's taking a lot of hits right now, and that's not something he's used to because usually the quick release and the O-line, they limited the hits. Ooh, he's getting beat up right now. He's getting pounded.
And if Jim Sorge's in there, you can write off the Colts.
I know
it's hypocritical of us because we all seem to think that Castle can lead the charge here. But
you picked the Jets.
If for one game.
I did too.
Right.
So did Paul.
And we were reminded of that too.
Yeah, we were reminded of that by team employees afterwards.
Team employees decided to shoot us down.
EFW on the hot seat, according to some team PF.
It's funny. If you're so confident, talk to us before the game.
Right.
But I digress. Anyway.
That's not the Patriot way.
No, it's not. Back. Sorry.
Hi, Gary.
Hi, Gary. Andy rules, says Larry the Drunk.
Ah, damn it.
Something
why do
I've been
have
waiting
drunk?
To say and looking over some the posts left on the PFW and other various forums. Why are people saying crap like Castle wasn't great and we should look at someone else at QB? Clearly some Pats fans do not remember 01. I like what Castle did. Andy, did you like what Castle did?
I thought Castle was great in terms of his first NFL start, and I thought he was great in terms of being a little bit better than he was the week before, and I think that's all you can ask for. If he can do that, because he's going to have mistakes.
He's going to have
be interceptions. There's going to be stinkers. But if he can improve in his decision-making, his reading of the defense, if he can improve a little teeny bit each week, I think he might be good enough.
You know, if you go on Ask PFW today, which should have been posted relatively soon.
Oh, you finished that before we came back?
Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah,
you're
I went through that pretty
job.
Quickly. Thank you very much. I appreciate
you're fine,
that.
Fine, Sailor.
One emailer asked us, you know, is that think and dunk stuff going to work against the good teams? I'm like, well, why not? Because you know something? The good teams with the high-powered offenses, you want to keep them off the field. Run that ball control offense, chew up the clock, run down the field slowly, and score points.
We have a lot of energy right now, by the way.
We do have a lot of energy.
I feel like we're up.
Probably because you ate a pastrami sub.
That's true.
Or half of one. If Paul doesn't come in here, by the way, 1 o'clock Paul has until Andy Hart finishes the rest of that pastrami.
There is no question about that. I'll be
You've
finishing
that
sub at
1. You've got a 36-minute countdown.
John, thank you for lunch, even though it didn't include an order for Andy. And thanks for the whoopie pies. I'm going to say it a few times throughout the show because with Gary and Mini G back there, you never know what you guys are going to hear out there on the internet. Now Gary's mad that I'm including him in this.
But, you know, getting back to the email.
On my watch, I guess.
Getting back to the email from Larry. The email from PFW this afternoon. I have no problem with that style of offense because would you rather have Matt Castle try to force to Randy Moss all day, who, by the way, the Jets were trying to take out of the game
right,
from the
start. Right, they doubled him.
So you'd rather have him force into double coverage on Moss and get it picked? Or would you rather have him check off to the running back, to the tight end, to Falk, to Jordan? Play it smart. That's what he did. There's nothing wrong with that.
Play it smart. I love it. And another little tidbit of news that you can only get here on PFW in Progress. We're bringing it all out today. That was a learning experience for Matt Castle and Randy Moss on the play where Moss broke wide open down the left side. Matt Castle underthrew him a little bit. I still thought it was a drop. I thought it got to Moss'
chest. He should have caught it still.
I think Tom Brady has underthrown Moss a number of times over the last year plus, including the play where they both were injured last week against Kansas City. Moss dropped it. But the bottom line is, when they got back to the bench, my sources tell me that Randy Moss explained to Matt Castle with some colorful language that he cannot overthrow him, so just throw the ball. Because if you watch the play again, as soon as Moss gets to the corner, he throws his hand up, knowing he's already beaten him, throw the ball. Castle waits, hesitates a second or so, before he throws it. It ends up being underthrown. And, you know, we saw this last year where Brady even joked about at times, you know, I don't think I can overthrow Randy Moss.
Right.
And I think they had one incompletion where he did overthrow him in the Giants game.
And he joked
that was the first time I've ever overthrown him.
Yeah, it was back-to-back
That's
plays.
What Matt Castle needs to learn, that Moss has the ability to go get the ball, just throw it up there as soon as you think there's a chance. And I even think you take more chances. You don't want to get into the forcing it, but we've seen Moss enough times make plays on the ball, either to come down with the ball or at least break it up, that as a quarterback, a young quarterback, you're looking to make plays, have confidence in him that you can throw it up, and most of the time good things will happen.
Well, I worry a little bit about Castle's accuracy as compared to Brady. I think they can both throw the ball deep pretty well, and I think Castle's got a great arm, but the accuracy is my concern, so I'm not sure I want to keep chucking it up there.
Well, keep. I mean, they did it once. It was one play.
I'd like
to see two.
Okay. Fine. That's fine. You
said,
but you were saying take more chances. I don't know if you meant
with Randy Moss.
10 or 11. Okay.
With Randy
that's
Moss,
fair.
I
want
to see him take a couple shots every week
that's fine.
Just to show that they're going to be willing to do it throughout the year.
And I like Moss going to him on the bench and explaining, even if he's cursing, who cares? That's what football players do.
That's what we do on this show.
This is Moss's time now to be a leader. And as I wrote today on the Ask PFW site, it's not really a option. It's now a requirement. You've been voted a team captain, and your quarterback is down. You are the best receiver on this team, and he's the guy.
Best offensive player on the team. Now.
You are the guy he is going to look to more often than not on big plays. You have to be a leader. You have to be sort of, I don't want to say a mentor, but you got to be by his side at all times. And so far, so good. He's been fine. I know people have had some concerns. Is Moss going to go down the tank now because Brady's not there, if the team struggles? I think we're going to see a lot about Moss and his leadership in the next few weeks here. And I think so far it's been pretty good. I have no complaints about it whatsoever.
We're going to have to because despite all the glowing things we said about Randy Moss last year, it would have been hard to not have a great season. Because
they went 16-0.
They were winning every week. They're blowing teams out. It's all fun. It's honeymoon.
Exactly.
Now there might be a couple hurdles along the way. There might be games where he only gets two balls for 20 yards like he did on Sunday. So he's going to be challenged a little bit more. It'll be interesting to see how he reacts. So far, so good. You know, I have no problem with him saying, you know, just throw it out there. You can't overthrow me.
That's right.
That's the back and forth. That's the two guys haven't played before.
That's,
you know, you had a little preseason action, but, you know, they need to get used to each other. I have no problem with that. As long as Randy Moss shows up every week and is looking to make plays and at times is willing to be a decoy or a guy that takes double coverage, I think this offense will be okay.
And, you know, Brady has had his moments, too. Back in 02 when they lost four in a row, he was not the most pleasant person to be around in that locker room. Okay,
nope.
So everybody gets a little cranky when things aren't going well. So it's not just Moss. It's not just certain guys. It happens to everybody.
And it'll be interesting to see what happens to this team when that happens, because there will be at some point a hurdle here. The margin of error has been closed, as many a player told me in the postgame locker room. And they're good enough to win the first couple weeks, but there's going to be times when that margin of error is closed so much that you might lose a game. You're not going to be blowing people out every week. So it'll be interesting to see how they deal with adversity. But right now, it's all positive.
Strippers, by the way, must be in front of his computer because he sent about 500 emails.
Oh, he's big on the email.
Asking us if Andy, particularly, have you seen the Catherine Tappan video on YouTube?
No, but I'd like to.
She's mint, says Strippers.
Well, in person, she's mint. And just so you know, the hottest post-game locker room ever at Giants Stadium, I was sweating my butt off. But the only thing that made it feel better when I was awkwardly uncomfortable was the fact that Catherine Tappan was sweating right there with
me.
Nice. She was glistening, if you will.
Glistening. Well, I'm going to save this link, Strippers.
She's a beautiful woman. Is it not okay to say that?
That was just kind of creepy.
It is a little creepy.
It was better that she was glistening in front of me than, like, Paul.
The sweat beating off Paul's bald forehead.
Yeah, I don't want to see that. I want to see a beautiful blonde glistening in front of me.
You're getting a lot of response from the Mendenhall stuff, by the way.
So people nobody cares that I said you. Kevin Faulk had diminishing skills, and in his first game this year, he was dominant? Good to know that people look past some of your mistakes. I like it.
Our pal Christian, not Chris with the T-I-A-N.
Who may have been charged for lunch.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Christian, by the way. Your name is on the bill.
Your name was actually on the receipt that we received.
Hopefully,
you know,
it's
the
not
one
going
that didn't include a
card.
Steak and cheese for Andy.
He asked how
you got your sub.
Kevin
what are you
Faulk?
Signing for?
I'm signing for you. Okay, I feel
how
your
can I
on that.
Be expected to perform without my steak and cheese? Okay, go.
I don't know what to say. I don't even want to read this email anymore.
I like it.
There's nothing to say.
Read it.
Jack has an email. Hi guys.
Me.
Well, it wasn't pretty, but it worked.
Off.
When I told
me
people,
off. My game not so good today. Me off.
It is a freaking circus in here, by the way.
Bring it in.
This show is going down the tubes at our Fred.
Coach once told me,
I can't do this.
Do it full speed. If you make mistakes, do it full speed. We're doing the radio equivalent right here of full speed.
It's 30 minutes in, and I've already screwed up several hundred times.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, when I told people last week that we'd win by 10, they all looked at me like I was nuts.
Well, you were wrong.
Exactly. I thought they reeled Castle in, which we kind of expected, limiting his throws until he can prove himself a bit more reliable.
I'm not sure they reeled him in all that
No,
much.
I don't think they did either.
They
do what he had to do.
They had some guns, some spreads, some empty. He was throwing the ball short stuff. You know, they're not looking to make all the big plays, but
no.
I don't think Brady would have been looking for big plays with the Jets, you know, having Kerry Rhodes and the safeties roaming around Randy Moss all day long in cover two. So I'm not sure they reeled it in all that much.
He also says, here are the things I saw that Matt has to work on. Number one, he telegraphs his throws. I could tell where he was going.
That's what young quarterbacks do.
He also tends, I think, to hold on to the ball a little too long sometimes.
Young quarterbacks do that as well.
Exactly. Number two, he has to look for options and increase his field vision. I think he did that pretty well. Spread the ball out a lot in that game.
I thought
he took what they gave him.
Let's be honest. I know we hate saying this phrase, but it was his first start since high school. He's playing against NFL players.
I know. Number three.
I thought he was good.
Number three, he throws the ball exactly where the play calls for it to be without watching the progression of the receivers.
Wow. Who's this?
Jack.
Jack not happy.
No, Jack is happy. He says he was glad
but
he was right.
Based on his observations, Matt Castle is an open book. And you know exactly where the ball's going. You know, the Jets didn't always know where it was going. But I disagree. I didn't think it was that bad. I thought it was a very nice first game.
I thought it was fine. He didn't make any mistakes, which is all you can really ask for.
What's his passer rating? 101.4 or something like that?
Something to that
guy's
effect.
Guy's played a game and a half in the NFL, and his passer rating's 100. He hasn't turned the ball over yet, and he's 2-0.
Just don't turn it over. That's really what I
asked
for.
That's the biggest thing, because the defense is going to give him a chance to win if they don't turn it over. Certainly, if the defense is holding the opposition to field goals and the offense doesn't turn the ball over, you're going to be in every single game the rest of the way. You'll have the chance.
Todd Porter says, speaking of swearing football players, it was nice to hear Teddy call Sean Ellis a bleeping cigarette on national TV, and I paraphrase.
Oh, really?
A bleeping
He's
cigarette.
One of those pork meatballs they sell in Europe?
Apparently. I didn't hear that, did you? Anybody
I did
hear
not.
That, Gary?
This thing is a whopping 16 inches.
Whoa. Sean Ellis doing okay for himself.
These things really are huge.
Speaking of which, how about your boy Chris Cooley?
Showing his wee-wee on his blog for most of the day yesterday. Gary, did you see that? You like wee-wees. he wanted to put up a picture of his playbook, and he took the picture with the playbook in his own lap, but apparently he was studying his playbook in the nude, and he put it up a photo with his schlong on the photo. He apologized later, saying, we did not mean to have a penis on our website all day yesterday.
And I think we don't mean to have our plays diagrammed on the internet
right.
either. That's the bigger problem.
A terrible decision by Cooley. He has a great blog. I urge any of you out there to go to it. I think it's chriscooley47.com or whatever. He's very funny, but that one wasn't the best of ideas.
Speaking of email addresses, we are webradio@patriots.com, so keep sending us the emails. If you want to give us a call, that's 508-543-7482.
Playing the role
of
Fred Kirsch.
I'd love to talk to people on the radio.
40 minutes into the show, giving out the number.
Oh, sorry, we spent 20 minutes ripping Twogender for not putting the freaking show online and screwing up your lunch order, so sorry if I didn't get to all the football and technical web matters.
Technical web matters? Read an email, you monkey.
Okay, we have a bet for lunch with Andy.
Yep.
Our friend Josh, Jared Allen, 12-plus sacks. I'll take the over, he says. We know you will take the under anyway.
How many did he get? I know he had one on Sunday, right?
Well, even if he has one, he's got 14 games to get
He's on pace for
11.
Eight. One in two games is on pace for eight.
Yeah.
So well, you'll Patriots take outside you'll take linebackers on are on pace for 16.
Okay.
Great. I'll take the under, but I don't really have to buy lunch if I lose, do I?
I think you do, actually, yes. Oh, God forbid you got to pay up on a bet. It seems like nobody on the staff likes to pay bets. Paul still has hair, or whatever's left of it. After
is that what you call that? Is that really hair?
We have no more emails to read, by the way, besides Catherine Tappan YouTube vids, which I would love to see, but I'm not going
to
play it right now.
See Catherine Tappan's.
Knock it off. Her, what, tubes? Is that what you want to say?
Tubes.
Anyway, back to the football game, if we can, for
yes.
a second. I don't know what else to talk about, but I do think the running back. What's going on here? Oh, sorry. Jeez.
You monkey?
Now I'm the monkey.
He is a monkey.
Now I'm the monkey. Sorry. I didn't get all the emails. Okay, fine. Well, let's
Wait,
start with this
before
one.
Before you read emails, let me talk about a topic that we've yet to broach on this show. Lamont Jordan. Tremendous.
Well, that's where I was going. The running game with the five running backs available for the first time all year.
Well, sort of. Lawrence Maroney made himself unavailable soon thereafter. But Lamont Jordan talked about post-game that he knew he'd have a chance if they got into a four-minute situation where they're going to run out the clock, that he'd get the opportunity to have some carries. 11 carries, 62 yards, falling forward, running with power, praising his offensive line, but I thought he looked really good. And simultaneously, Lawrence Maroney bangs up his shoulder, is announced as questionable for a return, stays in the locker room a little bit longer than the team at halftime, then runs out full speed a couple minutes into the third quarter and basically put himself in Ivan Fear's back pocket, which to me is a sign, coach, I want to play. Coach, put me in, coach. Coach, I'm here. Coach, see me? Turn around, coach, I'm here. And they never put him in until the very, very end of the game, which also tells me he was healthy and capable of going back in. So I'm wondering if they were sending a message to him, if you're not going to be durable, we can't count on you, you can't go back in. But I thought it was interesting. Sammy Morris didn't have a great day, but we've seen good things from him over his career here. Lawrence Maroney on the sideline and Lamont Jordan. You're going to read that little note that Gary's been bending over
John
backwards.
John in L.A., sorry. Trying to look at Andy Hart.
Wow.
I don't know why.
I guess he's even worse than Fred. He just reads the guy's name the second you say it. John in L.A. Hey, John, how are you?
How's it going, guys?
Good.
Good. What's up?
I know it's a very small sample size, but I have to say, Ellis Hobbs? Looking a lot better.
Tremendous.
I mean, really stunning to me because I've been one of the people who's really down on him. And
as was I.
Closer to the ball, closing on the ball.
Yeah, it's what
well,
we asked
for
3.5 years.
Right. Don't give
we
up
said,
10 yards on every
why
play.
Can't he just get closer to the ball? When you're near the ball, good things happen.
Yeah.
So far through 2 weeks, he's been near the ball. He's got an interception, a couple pass defenses. Good things are happening.
He's been fine. Get near the ball.
It's like the switch got flicked, but not even in the preseason was he doing this.
Right. He stunk in the preseason. Which game was that? One of the games they threw right at him, like
Tampa.
Four straight plays, marched down the field because he had his normal 7-yard cushion. Now he's back. He's playing actual NFL corner.
So can we assume that it was part of the coverage? I mean, I still think he should be near the ball somewhat, but maybe it was part of the coverage and he just wasn't near it.
It was bad coverage.
A little soft. Well, then that's a team thing.
But he has been, you know, we've always wondered, could he potentially even be a top corner on your team?
Yeah.
The last couple weeks, I think
he has the talent
to be a top corner.
Yes.
Nice to see Brandon Merriweather hang on to a ball.
Beautiful. That would have been the worst of his career had he dropped that one.
That one was. You have to catch that one.
He kind of almost did, didn't he? Wasn't it a little not quite clean?
Nah, well, I don't think he's ever going to be Randy Moss and make every catch look easy, so I'll take any of them.
That's what I was saying. I was saying he should be Randy Moss.
Well, I'll take any of them that end with the ball in his hands, and that one did.
Right.
What else you got for us, John?
I want to defend myself. Richard in the UK apparently thinks that I predicted the Patriots would go 12-4 with Matt Castle before the Jets game. I have no idea what he's talking about. But
all right, well, put you on. What's the record going to be at the end of the season? They're 2-0 now. What will they finish?
I see more like 10-6.
I agree.
That's fair.
I was with Mike on the 8-8, 9-7, but I was most actually impressed by the defense. That's what's changed my mind. I mean, I know the Jets still need to gel, but I thought the defense played a lot better than I thought that they would.
Yeah,
I agree.
And a lot better than we've seen so far.
And whether the opposing offense is gelled or not, if you're at the 3-yard line, a lot of teams more often than not are going to punch it in there.
Right.
And the Pats kept them out of it, thanks to some bland play calling, too. But in two games now, a first and goal at the 5 and a first and goal at the 3, and they kept them out both times. That's impressive. Yeah.
And Seymour, man, maybe he was right during the preseason when he was feeling a little healthier. We finally saw it this week.
Yeah, because I didn't think he had a great week against the Chiefs.
No, I
thought Brandon Albert kind of owned him as a rookie
Sunday.
Tackle. But this week I thought he did a very good job getting in the backfield. Obviously on that goal line stand there, he was in the backfield and met Thomas. That play had no chance from the beginning because Seymour was in the backfield just engulfing Thomas Jones. So, yeah, I thought he looked great. I thought the whole front looked great. I thought Ty Warren had a great week as well.
All right, well, thanks a lot, and please stop talking about politics. You don't really know what you're talking about.
McCain in 08.
Wow, we didn't even talk about politics yet.
Meanwhile, Obama said the lipstick on a pig thing for like the last year in his stump speech. But
meanwhile,
pretend that he's,
so whose side are you on?
Hail on a pig.
Obama is as pompous as Eric Scalavino. That's why I don't like him.
Ooh. Well, at least he's qualified to be president. So.
No, he's not.
No, he's not.
Peace out.
Yeah, okay.
Bye.
All right, guys. Bye.
Is there an implication there that John McCain's not qualified to be president?
I don't know what. Yeah, I couldn't tell what side he was on for a second there, and I don't even care. Doesn't make a difference.
That's right. We don't talk politics here. Except,
but
I
wanted
McCain
to get back.
In 08.
I wanted to get back to the running back thing for a second, Andy, because I do think it's a noteworthy topic with Jordan coming in. All those yards, by the way, in the second half. I think that's part of what the charm is here. When you have five guys, when you have fresh legs in the field at all times, you have a worn down defense. A guy who hasn't been in the game much. And it's going to be a clear edge going toward the Pats in that regard. Now, as far as the Maroney thing is concerned, I'm not sure if they were trying to send a message or if they figured, hey, right now Jordan's running the ball. Why take him out? We have a guy who doesn't always run straight ahead and a guy who does.
Well, I think that's part of the message.
I don't know if it's a durability thing, Andy, more so as a performance thing. Stop dancing and run straight ahead.
Stop being a dancer and a pansy and you'll play again. I think that was the
message. You want to dance, go to Dancing with the Stars.
Because he clearly wasn't hurt. He came back in.
He was fine. No, he
so
was
he
fine.
So he needs to probably learn the difference between are you injured or hurt? You know, does it hurt or are you injured?
Does it hurt?
And apparently it hurt a little bit, but he wasn't injured because he was able to come back. And a clarification from Jack. Wanted to say that Brewski said to the refs, throw the bleeping flag, not you're a bleeping.
That's flag.
Well, the next one isn't. That's why I didn't say it. And he was referring to Ellis's helmet toss. I did not see that, but I've heard talk of it that there was a helmet thrown by the Jets, and people wondered why nothing came of it. My guess is there'll be a fine if you clearly saw him throw the helmet. There will be a fine imposed on Ellis.
Well, all right, so at least we know Teddy Bruschi's not a homophobe. That's good news.
How do we know that?
Because he didn't call out Sean Ellis.
Oh. Making a bold leap of faith there, eh?
Oh, this is good stuff. We have an email from a pal of ours in Ireland. I cannot pronounce the name.
Cormac?
C-I-A-R-A-N.
Kieran?
Kieran.
Kieran? Kieran? Is that a female?
No.
Sorry, Kieran. Pal, buddy.
Oh, we should note, just real quickly, Gary, yes. Our favorite flight attendant was part of the crew this week. Karen, who was made famous by her, go ahead, Gary, Urban Dictionary lead-in? No? Okay. She is our favorite flight attendant, and she didn't know who Paul was. She asked him his name. She couldn't remember his name, which was classic, and apparently hurt Paul's ego a little bit.
Speaking of making fun of Paul, Kieran does have a little P.S. at the end. Please, Paul, no more appearances on Patriots Today. You look desperately uncomfortable on camera. You look like you've been poured into those blue shirts. And so
wait, you got to read that again so you can get it out there. He's been poured into those blue shirts?
Look like you. I can't. You look like you've been poured into those blue shirts and somebody forgot to say when.
Somebody forgot to say when.
That's going to hurt him. So keep that. Don't delete that. No, keep that. We'll read it again
that
later
one out, Gary, please.
And pretend it's fresh when Paul gets here, if he gets here. Ugh. Which, by the way, he's under 20 minutes now until I eat the second half of his sub.
All right.
What was Kieran's main point?
Who cares?
All you read was the PS.
Oh, all right. I'm sorry, Kieran.
I feel like I'm doing a show with myself here, Gary. He's a terrible host. He's worse than me.
Screw you. Kieran says, I can't believe it. He did it. There was some who doubted him, but he came through for us and finally got his first interception. Well done, Brandon Merriweather. Looks like Andy's prediction did not come true, not for the first time. Kevin Falk was easily the best player on the offense yesterday, along with Welker, and he made a spectacular catch. Andy, you jackass.
I agree. See, Andy's jackass.
Maybe I shouldn't have read the rest of the email because it attacked you.
I like being
exposed.
I was
protecting you.
In the middle of the game, I turned to Paul and goes, going to be a tough week on the radio for me this week because Kevin Falk could not have been better.
You like being exposed? Are you Chris Cooley now?
No.
That's
the other thing. Word on the street is it wasn't a very impressive shot either. If you're going to put your schlong on the internet, make sure it's a big schlong. Gary?
I will. Note to self. Okay.
You should know I got a little wiener. I was taken out of context.
Caleb in Tampa. Caleb? Khalib?
Sure.
Caleb. Hi, guys, totally and Eric.
Cue the circus
never
music.
Gets old. I thought that Matt played an outstanding game for his first start since 1999. First start since high school.
True.
I think he deserves a huge round of applause from all of us. My favorite part of the game was when Brandon Merriweather picked off Favre, and my friend jumped up yelling, he finally caught one. He actually caught a ball. Rock Hands has finally got some hands.
Rock Hands.
Your friend must have been drunk.
He's going to catch some this year.
He will.
He worked on it all offseason. He had a good camp catching the ball.
On a side note, I have noticed that for the last three consecutive shows, you have pronounced my name wrong. You pronounce it Caleb, not Khalib.
Caleb.
I think it's the other way around.
Oh,
for Christ's sake.
You don't know how to read a pronunciation guide?
If it's too hard for you expletives to pronounce, you can call me by my nickname, Ping Pong.
Ping Pong?
The way I got that name is another story. It had to do with a girl and a ping pong table. Congratulations.
Oh, nice.
Keep up the great work. P.S. I think I might be the youngest listener who tries to write in every show. I only just turned 14 a little while ago.
Whoa!
And you're banging girls on ping pong tables.
Nice.
You did ping pong.
You did the before the age of 14 what Eric is still searching for. And I'm not even including a ping pong table. I'm just including the old-fashioned way on a bed.
PPSS, how long do you have to write in before you become like a strippers or one of the people that you actually recognize as somebody who writes in regularly? Well, do.
You will be recognized
now
as long as you sign ping pong.
Put in ping pong every time. I will read every email.
Ping pong.
And don't write your subject like you wrote it this time with 17,000 exclamation points that says, the game, read this. You won't be disappointed.
Yeah, those don't work.
Don't
just so
fish
you know,
for compliments.
You're more likely to get read when you put like Andy is a jackass in the subject. Like,
just email it.
Our boy Kieran.
No, don't worry. It's ping pong. It's just Fred mispronouncing your name like everybody else.
Yeah,
sorry.
He's a monkey. You give him Tom Smith and he says it wrong.
Smythe. Our pal William says, let's get Laura Malloy. No, I'm not serious. However, I assume people must be thinking it, not us.
Why, did he get cut?
No, the DUI.
Oh, okay. But isn't he on the Falcons?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I just think
so
it's
how
a
we
joke.
Get
I don't know. It's just I'm just reading the emails. I don't make.
Apparently,
Laura
Malloy is like Paul Perillo in that.
Somebody poured him into his shirt.
No, I was gonna go. Maybe he just drinks, get drunk. But Gary's looking for a Red Queen.
Great.
He's tuned out on this show.
I'm reading an email. What's the question?
Nothing.
Never mind. And William closes out by asking us: anyone want to explain this is not 2001? I'm not sure what he means by that.
It's 2008. It's a different year. I guess that's his point.
I don't know.
People are just making it's the obvious comparison. It's used both ways. The people that think the Patriots are done say, what are the chances that a second great quarterback comes along out of nowhere?
Right.
And the people that want to say the Patriots aren't done say, no one knew who Tom Brady was in 2001. So it's actually being used for both sides of the argument. And the bottom line is, it's 2008, and if Matt Cassel does what he did Sunday and gets a little bit better each and every week, They have a chance to be a playoff team and be in the mix of a all shook up AFC conference at this point. And if he stinks, then they're in trouble.
Our friend John chimes in too, talking about the Charger game on Sunday.
Oh, John who?
I'm not going to read his last name.
No. John from South Carolina or North Carolina?
No.
Oh, okay. Not the guy who screwed up my lunch.
No. He says, Ed made a bad call, but the Chargers failed to make two plays after the call. The Chargers still had the chance to make a play. We cannot put all the blame on Ed. It sucks, but the refs did not hand the game over. I partially agree, because it was still third and 10. I know, but it was still third and 10, and then the two-point conversion.
Right.
You did have two chances to make it happen. I know. They should never have had the ball, though. I mean, that is the bottom line in the end.
And
Chargers should have had the ball.
The NFL, clearly, they rarely publicly reprimand somebody, and he's, what did they use? He's going to be marked down, and it could affect his postseason and everything. I mean, they are penalizing Ed Hockley for screwing up.
Yeah, and he's going to get his low grades now, whatever that means.
That means he can't go to the Super Bowl or the playoffs.
Aw.
He'll have more time to flex!
No gun show at the Super Bowl. Okay, our pal Iggy. Hi, Gary, or Mini Gary, for that matter. I am Iggy from Madrid, loyal listener and occasional emailer. My wife and I are traveling from Spain to Foxborough to watch the Miami game this weekend.
And you want
to
bring lunch?
We would like to deliver you guys food on Tuesday, September 23rd, if you were not previously booked. Dan Tugender, do not screw this one up.
Yes. Are they going to bring paella?
We will deliver personally at Gillette. I'd love to appear on the show live. My English skills are probably not good enough for that. Well, neither are ours.
Neither are friends.
Okay. So we'll just feed you guys and leave.
We love you. You'd be more than welcome. When you come to the front desk, ask for Fred Kirsch. He'll handle everything. If not, second in command is Paul Perillo. Throw that name around. Third in command, Eric Calvino. Fourth in command, Mike Parenti. Then Gary. Don't ever call Andy.
I understand that.
Or listen to him. Dan will call you Iggy.
I understand that it is completely stupid to travel to the U.S. and include feeding you as part of our schedule. But
why? You want to feed a monkey.
But we diehard Pats fans are like this, and we cannot buy you food from Spain.
But you can, you know. You send your credit card. It's very feasible.
You could, Iggy, but that's okay. We'll accept a personal delivery. That's fine.
I look forward to it. Iggy from Spain. We like our listeners from the world abroad.
I just like having any fan. That's fine. I'll take
like
anything.
Having a fan.
I'll take whatever I can get at this point.
But really. Yes, we're looking forward to it. And so is the. Nah, I guess I can just ask him when he gets here.
Just ask Iggy.
I'm interested in the vacation too. Is he really coming across the ocean to see the Patriots play, or is it part of a grand scale vacation? You know, see Boston, New York, Washington, whatever. Or is he really just going to come to Foxborough, feed us, and fly back to Spain? I don't think there's any direct flights from Spain to Foxborough.
Well, I don't know, but we have an email from a pal of ours, also William, who is, I guess, debunking our claim that the media is not on the Pats' side, or that the media has overwhelmingly supported the Pats in the aftermath of Brady's injury.
This has become an annoying topic.
But we're going to read this anyway.
I've heard people argue that the media is poo-pooing the Patriots because, you watch the ESPN show and they all pick the Jets, but you watch this show and everybody's sticking with the Patriots, and who cares?
Well, it's like when people say Tim McCarver and Joe Buck hate the Red Sox, then Red Sox fans say they hate the Yankees or vice versa.
I hate Tim McCarver.
You can't have it both ways. You really can't.
It's true.
Anyway, he says,
and the bottom line is Rodney Harrison's still going to say that everyone hates him.
They're going to make it up if it doesn't exist anyway.
All the know-it-alls and the wishy-washy people, blah, 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 so-called experts. He's going to use all those phrases regardless. And we learned that when Willie McGinnis said, you said we were the favorites, but you really didn't mean it. Well, Vegas doesn't pretend things.
Yeah, I mean, Vegas makes its line, and it's pretty set. I can see why Fred gets upset with you. Yup, it is my fault. You did not minimize it. I must not be accidentally finding this stuff. I was looking for Kornheiser jokes about his Favre infatuation Monday night when I find the Prisco quote, which I don't think he even puts into the email. Thanks. Yes, Paul, you are right. There is a minimal amount of media saying the Patriots are done. I am a blind liar who can't understand the truth that your words convey. Obviously, I'm too stupid to understand. I can see you learn how to put words in people's mouths from Fred. Let's go with your count. I have found 3 when I wasn't looking, and you found 12 when you were looking. Hey, looking is your job. Now, my math might be off, but isn't 25% a tad more than statistically irrelevant? That's rhetorical. You do not need to answer that.
Whatever.
I don't know.
William and Paul are in a bit of a pissing contest here.
Yes.
I don't know.
What Pete Prisco quote is he talking about?
I don't know. Maybe he'll send it in later. I'm not in the fight, though, and I like it when I'm not.
William also says, a caller, he goes, I listen to the big show, and I think I'm insane now. Well, that's your first mistake.
Yes.
A caller
Go
pointed
Pats.
Out.
Woohoo! That's the big show. I just summarized it for you.
Yeah, that's 4 hours right there in 2 seconds. A caller pointed out how Mangini has no film on Castle. They all agreed his first few games before the book is established will be his best. Then Ordway pointed out that Castle will gain experience over time and will get better. They all agreed his later starts will be his best. Paul, please hit them for me. So William is like on Paul's side and then against Paul in the next email. So
Port in a storm, I'm okay with that. You got to be able to jump sides quickly. But I think anyone who definitively says Matt Castle's early games will be his best or his late games will be the best is an idiot.
Yes.
Because it's like when you talk about young baseball players, they come up. Okay, they're doing well, either a pitcher against hitters or hitters against pitchers because there's no book on them. Well, when the book comes back around, some guys flame out and you never hear from them again. Some guys get better because they've adjusted to the adjustments. That's why it's professional sports, and that's why it changes so much over the course of a season.
I got a question about what words can be said on the air. How about the D word?
Rhymes with Rick?
No. Rhymes with pooch. Rhymes with...
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good.
But I think we've been asked not to say it with the word bag next to it.
That's fine.
Right, Gary?
I can remove the bag. Anyway.
Is that true, Gary? I don't want to make you mad.
How is bag the bad part of that
Well,
word?
If you can say ass, but you can't say, wait for it, hole. Right?
Right?
I think you can say either.
Can you just put a list on this window of what
yeah,
can be
can you
said,
really get us a
said?
List that you that the Gary Grudecki please don't say these words list?
Because you're
be
really
specific.
You're really limiting my vocabulary, I got to say. Well, anyway.
He's writing it on right now in red marker on one piece of paper.
Oh, you know.
Oh.
It's time to move on, really.
We do not have a specific list because we're not really governed by anybody other than Gary Grudecki and Robert Kraft.
Oh, like governed
and
by
Gary is
Gary's
trying
ethics.
To keep us from getting in trouble with Robert Kraft.
Thank you, Gary.
Which I think is like the day I was doing shh.
Very admirable.
And it, and then seeing how close I could put them together before Gary got mad.
That last one was pretty close, by the way.
Yeah. I've been closer.
You've actually said the word.
Oh, yeah. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, Adam. Our pal Adam from Charlotte says, I live in Charlotte, and all the redneck inbreds were screaming during the Super Bowl when Peyton's younger.
People won't like this show.
No, you know what? We can't read this email.
Why?
All right. When Peyton's retarded younger brother broke the hearts of Pats fans, the perception of the Patriots to the rest of the country is so god-awful, and I find myself turning into Johnny Cochran with every idiot I talk NFL with. I am a filmmaker, and my dream film to make would be the story of the Patriots' 2001 season.
You should make it. I think it's a story worth telling on big screen.
Sure. How long will we have to wait before people forget why they hate the Pats and make that film a reality? Patriot Reign should be read by the world so they might see a better side of a great team. Tom Jackson is a douche.
I didn't love Patriot Reign. I thought it was okay. The movie, I think, should be made. You're right. It's probably too soon because the Patriots are still in their run of success.
Yeah.
So after Belichick and Brady retire, 4.7 years from then, I think you should debut in theaters across the country.
4.7?
Yep. That's the exact time that would be appropriate. I would go for a Thanksgiving weekend debut.
Oh, that's cute. P.S. Eric is not gay, but that doesn't mean he won't give Paul a reach around.
Oh, jeez.
Okay, can I say reach around?
I don't know, but you already did.
I guess not.
Jeez. People aren't going to like this show, Gary.
Should we talk some football?
Sure. You're leading the direction. You're the host.
I'm leading this team into a 4th-and-20 right now. That's
yes.
That's what kind of looks
you're
like.
You're like,
you know,
Brett Favre. Occasionally it's good. Occasionally it's bad. You never know what you're going to get.
Taking a 20-yard sack from Adalys Thomas, which another game-breaking play, by the way.
Yes. And Adalys Thomas thanked afterwards his long arms and his good Nike gloves.
And I would thank the blocker who was totally mismatched.
Well, I mean, when you have a 280 guy versus a 180 guy.
Yeah, get somebody else to block.
It's like me kicking Eric's ass.
It's part of the whole out-coaching thing that went on Sunday.
I agree.
It's part of Belichick coaching circles around Mangini in innumerable.
And it was...
innumerable ways.
And it was on display, I thought, in some ways on that punt fourth down exchange where...
Oh, that was god-awful.
Go for it, punt. Mangini had to stay in his defense. Kerry Rhodes back deep, but not back deep enough. He's going to just block and hope that the ball rolls in the end zone. Didn't have to hope because Chris Hansen put it in the end zone.
Yeah, and I'm surprised. By the way, you're a little surprised with the transaction yesterday with Tom Malone being kicked off the practice squad?
Yeah, I wouldn't read into that. I still think Chris Hansen's job is in jeopardy. It's just Tom Malone's not going to be the guy to take it. They're still looking for the guy that's going to take his job. But I think his spot on the roster is as tenuous as C.J. Jones' spot was in week one. And we all know how that played out.
Hey, strippers.
Did we
talk
about the fact that Kyle Ekeler is back?
Yeah, well, that was part of my surprise transaction, by the way. Another, like, a seventh fullback. Unless they are not enamored with Heath Evans for some
reason. They do go six deep right now.
They could, actually, yeah.
I've been going six deep. All
I just, yeah, okay.
That's six deep.
I'm just surprised. I mean, Hansen has not punted well in either game.
No, terrible. He had that one booming punt.
Yeah.
But other than that, he's been booming them from the 50 into the end zone.
I mean, you punt from that distance, you expect the team to start from its five.
And it's
supposed
to be his strength, situational punting.
Situational punting.
That's what he's supposed to excel at, and he has not excelled at it.
The Jets were far worse punting the ball on Sunday. I mean, Graham was god-awful. So there was some, at least, you know,
So Chris Hansen walked off the field. Hey, Bill, I wasn't as bad as him.
Exactly. I'm not the
I'm only the 31st
today.
Worst punter in the league, not the 32nd.
Anyway, Strippers says, you guys are the most entertaining hosts. We don't need Fred, nor Paul, nor Eric anymore.
I agree with Strippers. Strippers, you're Lubricants. The best. Strippers, you never responded as to whether you got your hot water heater fixed so that you can start buying us lunch again.
Matt in San Diego says, hi, guys. I'm sure the groundswell is surging for Castle right now, but I'm still not sold. Any chance of bringing in Jeff Garcia? I've heard he is on his way out of Tampa Bay.
It looks that way.
I would feel a lot better about life.
In general?
If we had a veteran QB behind Castle if things start to go south. That said, Fred, I think you have lost it. You sent the wrong guy from Providence to Patriots playbook. Parenti sucks. That's all there is to it. He is an angry little man who is lashing out at any and everyone from the safety of the radio. I'll fight you right now, safety of the radio. That's right, because you're in San Diego. That's why I said that.
Where you'll be in a couple weeks.
That's right. We'll meet up. The poor guy was clearly abused as a child. I'm sure he is disproving me right now by yelling every insult he can think of into the microphone and yelling, I'll show you an effing anger problem. But it's okay. He's just upset about C.J. Jones getting cut. Yeah, I am. Absolute crap, by the way.
Are you an only child?
Yes.
Explains
this
a lot.
Is probably just a part-time gig till Yankees Baseball Weekly gives him a call back. Keep up the good work, guys.
Just so you know, people like you are the reason why I had a second kid. Or I'm going to have a second kid.
I could really say something. I'm just not going to go there.
Why not?
No, I'm not. I'm not an angry
This is
kid.
A kinder, gentler Mike Parenti?
Yeah. I'm gonna spare
Gary,
you.
Gary, are you an only child?
I'm going to spare you. Anyway, you know what? Yeah, I'm a little pissed off about C.J. Jones getting cut.
C.J. Jones is long gone and forgotten.
But
you see who they worked out?
No.
Riche Bug-Eye Caldwell.
Yeah, he's better than C.J. Jones.
Of course he is. The guy had 57 catches.
Yeah, he was the guy who sucked the least among the wide receivers that year. That's all you need to
know. I would agree with that, but he had a decent year.
He was all right.
He's better than C.J. Jones. He's better than C.J. Jones.
He flubbed the AFC Championship.
But he's better than C.J.
Jones.
C.J. Jones
caught that pass.
And then thrown it afterwards to somebody else.
You know, things happen.
Do
you
take breaks ever?
C.J. Jones thing. No, can we take a break? Do you want a break?
It's 1 o'clock.
Let's do it. 1 o'clock.
Patriot Place, New England's first and only super regional lifestyle and entertainment center, is now open right next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Massachusetts. The home of the New England Patriots and the New England Revolution is now the home of New England's most exciting entertainment and shopping destination, featuring Circuit City, Bed Bath & Beyond, Christmas tree shops, Off-Broadway shoes, Staples, and New England's first Bass Pro Shops. Patriot Place has something for your shopping needs. And coming soon to Patriot Place is the first CBS Scene restaurant and bar. A four-star hotel, showcase live entertainment venue, and a long-awaited hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Patriot Place will soon be the home to more than 70 shopping, entertainment, and dining experiences unlike any other in New England. Visit patriot-place.com for more information and enter the grand opening sweepstakes for the opportunity to win a $10,000 Visa gift card for a Patriot Place shopping spree. A once-in-a-lifetime experience every day. At Patriot Place, everyone wins.
Torona, official sponsor of the Timeout, presents Great Moments in Timeout History. November 8, 1985. A playoff preview? Hardly. It was two mathematically eliminated teams phoning it in. But not organist Harvey Steiner, for he was fearless, cunning, and about to play for the 794th time. His digits in need of a breather, he called Timeout and watched the game on TV in the unused owner's suite, playing pre-recorded for the entire game. Even during halftime, the perfect plan had not been playing when number 23 fractured his shoulder and pelvis. Sure, Harvey was canned and played seedy hotel lounges for the rest of his years, but the sentiment wasn't lost on us at Corona, proving again that when you need to relax, grab an ice cold Corona, a lime, and take a break from playing, well, anything, especially that. This has been another great moment in Timeout history.
Corona and Corona Light, imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
When you've got a lineman-sized hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Food Master, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's, and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine, and Associate Grocers of New England, and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Eric's had a tough time opening up on PFW in Progress. They begged and pleaded and still nothing. Come on, Eric.
No, not in the last 2 days, no. I was not talking about that. I don't care. No, I'm not talking to you about this.
We're wondering if it's just on the radio or if it's the same deal upstairs. We've placed our hidden microphones in Eric's cube to get the scoop. Let's listen in.
Hey, Eric, I'm going to grab lunch. You want anything?
Sorry, no. I'm not talking about it.
Hey, Eric, do you know what Belichick's press conference is?
Don't worry about that. We're not going into that territory.
Hey, Eric, my internet seems to be down. Is yours working?
There's a moratorium on that issue.
Hey, did you watch the Idol final? I can't believe David Cook won.
No.
Hey, Eric, how's it going?
I'm not doing it with you, no.
Hey, Eric, did you do the blitz today?
I said too much. That part I'm not going to talk about.
Eric, $4.09 a gallon. Can you believe these gas prices?
Enough, both of you. Enough.
Hey, Eric, make sure you tell your friends to check out the new edition of Patriots Today.
What the hell are you doing?
Oh, my God, Eric, he's choking. Do the Heimlich maneuver.
No, not at all.
Thank you for calling Gillette Stadium. How may I direct your call? All right, Eric, take it easy. Have a good night.
No, I'd have to say no.
Whoa, well, all right, Eric. We'll see what happens on the next show.
We'll see you next Tuesday.
Why do we have to go on the air and make a big deal about it?
Welcome back to PFW in Progress. Andy Hart, Mike Parenti, the only two on this sinking ship right now.
Yeah, we were supposed to sink faster because Paul was supposed to join us, but where the hell is he? He said 12:30.
Paul will not sink because you're about to eat the rest of his pastrami sub. Have you started yet?
I have not yet. I'm going to give him a couple minutes because you know how he sulks if stuff doesn't go his
way. He would really be pissed off if he came in here.
He might cry. And a fat old bald guy crying, it's not a pretty sight.
I'd pay good money to see his reaction.
Quick tangent.
Yes,
as I said, Chris Ferreira was big time down on the shows last week where we talked only football, Brady, and the Patriots.
Well, this is his dream show.
So therefore, I have a tangent. I have to leave early on Friday. You know why?
No.
My first ever lesbian wedding.
This is going to be fantastic.
Amherst, Massachusetts. There's a shocker, huh? I believe on the College of Amherst. Going to go to a lesbian wedding.
So two brides or two grooms pantsuits?
Well, I know the woman I'm going for. I'm sure she will have a dress on.
You're going for this woman?
She went to college with my wife. Oh. They were roommates. Which begs the question, obviously.
Hey,
I haven't gotten a legitimate answer to it.
Have you been able to parlay that into a little bit of a, no?
No.
Okay. You failed.
I would assume she'll be in a dress. She's a, what do they call them, lipstick lesbian?
Mm-hmm.
The other one, I don't know, never met. I'll be interested to see if it's two dresses, a dress and a pantsuit.
So at least one hot lesbian?
Yeah.
Moderately.
Can you blog from there?
You going to get pictures for this, by the way?
Possibly.
Put them on the website?
We will see. But I'm intrigued by my first lesbian. And I'm also intrigued not only by the bride and bride, but by their, I assume there'll be some interesting people coming together.
Yeah.
Their separate friends, group friends.
The wedding party?
It could be interesting.
So now, the wedding party, would they, now here's the thing, though.
Told you, my first lesbian wedding. I don't know how it plays
but
out.
But they're both wearing dresses.
All the bride's maids and maids.
Groomsmen? Are the groomsmen going to wear dresses?
All wear dresses? Be
so
interesting.
There's got to be a specific set of rules for lesbian weddings, I would think.
I think they're pretty much open to interpretation based on how the
as is the laws of marriage, apparently, too. Just kidding.
Certainly.
I kid. I love everybody. Okay. Back from that tangent. Chris from the Bronx.
Speaking of
my
lesbians.
My favorite, by the way. Hey, guys. Now that the Pats are 2-0, any rethinking of their overall record? Well, if they were to go 10-0, I'd have to rethink it too. I'll be sticking with my prediction of 10-6. I think that's Andy's as well. But if they win versus Miami, that means they'd go to 7-6 for the rest of the year. And with this schedule, I figured they could do better. And see, I kind of agree with that. Now, you get to 3-0, 9-7 is, you know.
But they might be your three easiest games.
Well, how many difficult ones are down the stretch?
Because if the Jets are an easy game on the road, they're an easy game at home.
You still have to play Miami, the Jets, and the Bills again.
Right,
the Bills might be
won't
tough.
Be included there. You don't get to play the Chiefs again. I'm sure you'd love to.
I think everybody would.
But not necessarily, because I think in my little scenario of you win six, you lose six, and then the other four come into play and swing your season in either direction, you know, the Dolphins were a win. The Chiefs were a win. Those are part of my
we
six.
We knew they were going to win anyway.
At the Jets was not necessarily a win.
No.
But that might have been one of the four, so maybe I should up it. No, because then I would still... That would still get me to 10-6. I'm sticking with 10-6.
You have to wait about 6 or 7 weeks, seriously, because
I mean, we got some tough stretches coming. At going on the road just for two straight weeks on the West Coast is a challenge, regardless of the team, the quarterback, whatever.
Right.
So let's bear in mind there are still some challenges on the road ahead.
Chris says, two things I like about playing Miami this year. Number one, no Jason Taylor. I'm sure Matt Light would agree.
Yep.
Number two, no long bombs. I'm not sure. Is he referring to...
Chad Pennington's limp right arm.
Okay. Oh, yeah. That's right. Sorry.
I believe you called him Noodle Arm when you wrote about it.
I have written about Noodle Arm several times. I know the Pats are two touchdown favorites.
That's Noodle Arm.
What was I saying?
No, just kidding.
That seems a little high.
Whoa. The Patriots are two touchdown favorites?
Yeah, it's the first I've heard of that. That is a little high if that's the case.
It shouldn't be two touchdown favorites over Foxborough... Pee-wee Pop Warner.
Yeah, that's a little too much. You're assuming they score 14 points. No, all kidding aside, two touchdown favorites over the Dolphins?
Although the Dolphins do stink.
The Dolphins are bad.
Can't get out of their own way.
But see, I think two touchdown spreads
Dolphins
are high
against
anybody. Dolphins
could go one in, what would it be, 31 over this two season? I mean, they stink.
They are bad. They're not going to go 0-16.
No, they won't,
Pennington
but they
is going to engineer a couple of victories at some point, I would have to think. Jack writes in and says, again, the Brewski outburst, throw the bleeping flag. That was close. What? I'm just going to stop it there. Yes, he also corrected us on the Brewski outburst.
Yes.
And I almost...
It had nothing to do with sexuality.
I almost got us kicked off the air.
It had to do with football. We can't be kicked off the air. We've said enough things to try to get kicked off the air. I once called a player rhymes with Rick on the show.
Did you?
I got kicked off the show, but...
Did you really get kicked off the show?
Yeah, it was Super Bowl week. Fred said, just go. Kicked me off.
And now his description of what Derek Jeter does is nothing.
Yeah, it's okay to say Jeter swallows. Oh, by the way, thanks, strippers.
When he talks about something he doesn't want us to say, it's not a lead-in to say it.
We're in trouble, Gary,
when I'm the voice of reason on this show.
We went over that topic several hundred times on the show already, so I don't
That's
see what
Gary's point. He didn't need 101.
Oh, sorry.
In fact, one might have been enough.
Good Lord.
God.
Okay, go ahead. What?
I almost got kicked off the Mike Felger show for saying Bernie Williams couldn't catch AIDS. Was that against the rules too, Gary?
That was a reference. I guess that's okay.
Thank you. Okay.
Well, we can reference anything we want.
All right. Speaking of references, I want to thank strippers for the Catherine Tappan video. We watched during the break. I had a cigarette.
Yes,
all as well.
Good stuff. Good stuff.
And a Diet Pepsi as well. So, yeah, that was
Is
pretty
that hair gel?
No, that's not hair gel.
What else do we have to talk about here? We've got like an hour to kill. We have 50 minutes to kill, and I'm all footballed out. Hey, somebody's at the door.
Hey, guys. This is your favorite flight attendant, Karen. Now it's time for Andy Hart's Urban Dictionary Word of the Day. That's Word of the Day. I got that can of soda for you, Freddy. So put your seat back and tray table up and quit your bitching, huh?
Okay, well, very appropriate in a lot of ways tied into this show. Flight is involved with this word. Pink is involved with this word, which was pink hats in the Catherine Tappan video. Lots of pink going around here on the show today. And the word
is... not even here.
That's true. Pink helicopter. That's pink helicopter.
I can see where this one's going.
Can I read it, Gary?
Read it.
It's when a man exposes himself, as Chris Cooley did, but... uses his exposed member as a helicopter and swings it around. Is that okay, Gary? No?
Too late.
Okay.
Speaking of pink,
let's move
slip.
On. All right, anyway.
Where were we?
We were talking football, as we always do on this program, noon to two, nonstop.
And now Chris Ferrer is tuning us out.
Football-based.
I have to say, there's a topless old man on the TV right now. I'm not liking that too much.
I am really surprised that I have not taken quite a beating as I thought I would on the Kevin Falk issue. I thought there would be a few more of those.
Well, it's one game.
It was his best game in a while.
Right, but they used him in the role that they are best suited to use him in. Now, if you're going to try to make him your number two running back, it's not going to work.
No, but that wasn't my argument. My argument was his skills were diminishing. Nothing I saw on Sunday led me to believe in any way
his skills
are
diminishing. Andy, they probably are at his age.
Why are you defending Mike Screw?
I don't know, because you're just going overboard over one game. It's fine.
You tell me he's going to stink next week?
He very well could.
I don't think so. He's still got something left. He had a nice little one-week vacation, and he's ready to go 15 straight weeks as a contributor.
Naturally.
I was wrong.
Of course, Strippers chimes in about lesbian weddings.
I'm sure he's been to all sorts of weddings on both sides of the aisle.
Two tips, and then he goes to step three.
No, there'll be no tips.
So
it's a lesbian wedding.
I don't know how Strippers... I don't know how with two tips he goes starts with step three, but okay. He says, decide on sex roles. Deciding who walks down the aisle, who is the bride and who is the groom, is an issue that sometimes comes up. The fact is you don't have to do any of this silly heterosexist role-playing unless you are intending to be campy. Remember, you're making history here, so you make the rules.
That's what I said. It's all up to interpretation.
Step four, choose your wedding outfits. Some women choose to wear both wear dresses or one dress and one tux. Men usually choose to wear tuxes or maybe even kilts. But then again, there are no rules. Thank you, strippers, for that. We have a phone call. Jamie is in Houston. Hi, Jamie.
What's going on, fellas?
How are you?
First off, Jamie, how'd you make out in the storm?
Well, thank you, guys. I did okay. I'm in an apartment with my family. We're in the process of building a home, and the home that's being built is intact.
Oh, good.
We've been without power for the past 4 days with like 1.8 million other of my fellow Houstonians down here. Lights are starting to come on. And I think my lights just came on this morning, and I think that's a correlation because I heard the first guys from Edison Mass Electric hit the ground here in Houston, and I'm real thankful for that.
That's right. The New Englanders go down and clean things up.
That's right.
That's what we do.
That's right. That's well, glad to hear everything that you came out of it okay, because I guess, you know, there's a lot of people, obviously, that didn't.
Yeah. Down in the island, you know, Galveston and a couple other points further south, you know, everybody hears about Galveston. That's the bigger island, but There's a few other sections that are just total. Bolivar Island, I mean, it's gone. And,
wow.
You know, we suffered the wind damage. You know, I'm fairly north of that area, but it was, you know, still pretty significant. I'm in downtown Houston, and we've lost several hundred windows in high-rises all around town, and we're 40 miles inland. And so the water was the worst, and, again, that just leveled cities and islands down there, and it's pretty rough. So I'm very thankful just to have been out of power for 4 days and be a little uncomfortable. But keep your thoughts and prayers with the folks a little further south on the islands.
Will do. And by the way, the Patriots won.
You know, I just found that out. I was talking to my dad yesterday, just keeping up on things, and you know, I actually forgot about the Patriots for a couple of days. Forgive me.
Not a problem.
Before I've sinned, but it was great to hear 19-10. I understand, and
yep.
They're moving on, and you know, I'm encouraged, and I think that's great. I'm sure is you know, from one disaster to another, you know, there is hope, isn't there?
Yeah, no question. I don't think a Patriots fan could have asked for much more. Matt Cassel played well. The defense played up, had a red zone stand. Brandon Merriweather had a pick. Adalis Thomas had a big sack of Favre late. It all came together nicely for a good old-fashioned Patriots team win, and I think that's what they're going to need moving forward. So, yeah, certainly a positive to build on in week two.
Yeah, and that was in hostile territory too, right?
Yes, no question.
You bet it was.
So, yeah, so Matt Cassel was tested. I mean, that's a good sign. I mean, you know, we don't need to, send Brady his walking papers yet, but it's a good sign that he can go in, you know, be prepared in a hostile, you know, it will get more hostile than I imagine. And
probably not.
He's fared well. That's great.
Yeah, no, it was a good thing to see, a good first step. But he's by no means done, obviously, in his development. But as first steps go, he did the job, and he's ready to move on to the Dolphins this week.
You know what else?
When
too?
I, what,
Go ahead.
When I last talked to you guys, there was, you know, still some mention about some fill-in quarterbacks, you know, who's going to be the second guy in the depth chart. Have they brought Gutz back?
He's on the active roster now.
Gutz, they brought him back to the practice squad first, then they activated him for the game, and he was the emergency third quarterback. Actually, there was a little bit of a scare from a Patriots perspective in the game. Castle took a big hit at one point. And looked like he sort of injured his left, I think it was his left leg, but his leg slash knee. And O'Connell, he was clearly shaken. They actually had a busted handoff the following play. And O'Connell was actually warming up on the sideline looking, you know, maybe that he might have to get in there. But yeah. Castle rebounded and was fine the rest of the way. So, but, yeah, that's your – looks like that's the threesome they're going to go with for now on. Castle, O'Connell, and Gutierrez as the three.
Yeah, I think that's the smartest move. He's, you know, he knows, you know, he's been training in training camp and, you know, more familiar than anybody else they'd get off the street. So
yeah.
And then I didn't hear a whole lot about Maroney. Again, I heard some good stuff about Jordan. I heard some stuff about our man, you know, Kevin Falk, always in the clutch. Circus catch so much for pot dulling the reflexes. he did all right.
Yeah, Maroney was a little disappointing. He didn't run all that well, was dancing a little bit, not doing what Jordan did later in the game, which was just getting the yards that were there. He actually got banged up, hurt his shoulder. They announced him as questionable for return. He came back to the sideline in the third quarter, and they didn't put him back in until the very last series where he got a carry. So I don't know if he's in the doghouse, if they're trying to send him a message that you got to be durable if you want to play. But,
yeah.
You know, Lamont
but
Jordan.
He didn't sit and pout like LT did, though, like
no.
A little girl, right?
No, he did not. He was right in Ivan Fear's back pocket like he was saying, put me in, coach. I'm ready. Put me in, coach. And they just didn't until the very end.
Yeah, and I heard Timmy Morris was okay. He did all right.
Yeah, he didn't have a great day in terms of yardage. I think he actually ended up with 0 yards total, factoring in a couple. There was one busted play where they didn't block Kerry Rhodes, and he went down for a 2-yard loss. Another busted play when Castle was banged up. But he found the end zone and had some tough yards to equal out to 0 yards for the day. And I, if you're stuck, by the way, with Jordan and Morris as your backs, based on what I've seen, there's worse off teams in the league.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, that's good stuff. And you know, I think you know, and I guess it's, you know, it's probably not the best thing to say. Still too early off the game one, but I think behind Kevin Falk, I think Sammy's your best blocking back, right?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah,
I mean, obviously
I
that
guess.
Play didn't highlight his skills and didn't work out the way they wanted, but yeah, I would think they would put more credit with his blocking than they would with Lamont Jordan.
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely.
I still think there's a chance this could shake out with Lamont Jordan as your starter in the next couple of weeks, the way he's run the ball and his diversity of skills.
We'll see.
He's going to get some opportunities to hold the ball.
Yeah, well, good stuff, guys. I won't hold it up. It's great talking to you. It's a good diversion. It's a good uplift to talk Patriots and talk to my guys at PFW. And, again, everybody out there, you know, again, you know, give your thoughts and prayers to the folks down here because, you know, there's still a lot of folks that need it.
Will
right,
do, Jamie.
Thank you.
Stay safe.
Take care, buddy. I have a couple of emails I want to get to.
After you build that house, send lunch.
Mr. Sensitivity, Andy Hart.
I'm just kidding. That's what they love us for. We're a diversion. We're a distraction from the real-world horrors.
Well, speaking of distractions, our friend Sawyer from Waterloo chimes in and says, hey, guys, I am still catching up from last week since I was on vacation, and one question is Mike over his PMS.
No, that's the way he is
Wednesday,
all the time.
He fights with
He's
Paul.
He's a girl with the period all year long.
All right. Wednesday, he fights with Paul. Then Thursday, he fights with Andy. Take some Midol. If you don't have some, maybe Jeter will give you some.
Oh,
I guess I can swallow it too, right, Sawyer? Thanks.
He just asked you not to say that.
Jackass. I'm talking about swallowing pills. It's fine.
Gary just left. He called it a career. We're on our own here now. You drove him away. That really pushed. He left.
He really left.
Yeah, you pushed him over the edge.
Okay. Stripper chimes in again with an update on lunch for Andy. The emergency shutoff valve broke. $179 for the new valve. $89 for the guy to show.
Ooh.
And I have to pay my quote maid Samantha $50 a week.
Quote maid.
So lunch might have to wait. Oh, Samantha is 21 in a C cup.
Oh.
And he sends
nice.
A photo.
Gary walked back in, too.
He sent this photo, and there's no photo of the actual C-cups, just a picture of the face. Cute girl.
Cute girl, but I'm
sure.
More interested in the C-cups.
I don't know. So strippers pays for sex?
No. She's a maid. That's why it says maid.
Well, the maid's, like, in the passenger seat of his car, so I don't know really what's going on there in this photo. So, yeah, the maid.
Cars need cleaning, too.
This is like the Seinfeld where he hires the maid, and she doesn't clean the house, and he just sleeps with her.
Anybody
remember that episode? Obviously, Andy doesn't, but I'm sure Gary does.
I don't watch Seinfeld.
Gary's not even paying
Gary's
attention
ignoring
to me.
You.
Fine. Okay.
You really went bald there, didn't you?
Josh T in Arlington, Virginia says...
Can I say one thing?
Yeah, go ahead.
This is a day for me to atone for my sins.
What sins?
McFadden stinks, 160 yards. Falk
diminishing skills. Well, we both picked the Jets.
I both picked the Jets.
That's fine.
Chad Jackson. Well, no, I changed to he stunk. Once I saw him in person and realized he stunk, I was like Bill Belichick. We both thought he was worth drafting and going to be good. He stunk. We were wrong. And I'm going me and Bill. We were wrong there.
And also, all right.
Wait, one more.
Go ahead.
Matt Castle, I said I would have cut last training camp because I thought he had
plateaued
in his development.
That's the one you should apologize for.
After a couple weeks, I've been impressed. And as I said, regardless of what I thought of his development, I've been rooting for him because I think he's one of the nicest guys on the team, one of my favorite players. An opinion that was only aided when he came on this show and made lots of inappropriate jokes at the Wes Welker and all that back and forth. He's clearly a good guy. And I'm glad he is having some success, at least initially, in a week plus.
Sure. And again, we were wrong about the Jet game. I thought this was a tough one, or it would be a tougher one for New England, and obviously it was not.
I didn't know that Eric Mangini couldn't coach and the Jets weren't as good as the sum of their parts that they had put together the offseason.
I was wrong! And I'm sorry nobody gave C.J. Jones a chance. On to the next email. Josh T. from Arlington, Virginia, says, "This show is nearly as terrible as the Solo Paul show. Get it together, will you two?"
I can't help it. I can only go where the host takes me. You're the host.
Okay. "If Andy was not such a welcher, I would propose a wager regarding the Obama-McCain election."
Okay, what's the wager? Bring it.
Okay, I would propose an authentic AD jersey. I guess Adele's AD.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Adele's Thomas. Okay. Or Peterson? Which one?
I don't know.
Adele's Thomas I'm going with.
Okay. "Versus a $250 gift certificate to Andy's restaurant of choice or someplace similar. Too bad none of you ever pay up on your bets.
I'd
love to have one of those jerseys." I guess he would pick
Obama's going to win?
And you're going to pick McCain.
So if McCain wins, I win a $250 gift certificate?
You should take that now and run with it.
I could ask my wife.
This is in
the bag.
Because
the jersey's going to cost me like $250 at the pro shop to buy. Unless I just steal one out of his locker after a game.
They're $250 for an authentic?
So, I think they might be more than that. I was including my discount.
With your discount and shipping, I don't think
I'm going to ask my wife, which is going to be a weird question because I think she's an Obama person. So she probably won't let me make the bet. I'd be willing to make the bet with you, but my wife probably won't let me. Any bets of more than like $10, I have to put by her.
Andy's whipped. Okay, a few emailers
it's called
are just
being married. Yeah, I have the ring to prove it.
Okay, congratulations. We have some people emailing in the spread for us. Christian says it's 12.5. Stripper says it's 13, so it's right around that margin. So it basically is two touchdowns for the most part. Andy sucks from Todd Porter. Who would be a worse jersey to own, Vince Young, Rashard Mendenhall, or Lawrence Maroney?
Lawrence Maroney.
I'd say the guy who was suicidal would be the worst one to own.
Well, he has done some things. He led his team to the playoffs. He had that great run against Houston.
Oh, wow. Andy, you've actually reached.
Uh-oh.
No, this is Stripper's blog.
Oh.
And he is now calling you out for your Andy McFadden. Your Darren McFadden will be a bust prediction.
Thanks for bringing that up the week after he goes for a buck 60.
And thanks for putting it on the internet. So the whole World Wide Web can see what a buffoon you are.
That's okay. One game does not a career make.
And one game does not mean Kevin Falk is not diminishing.
That's
so you should be able to use that argument both ways. So you don't have to apologize for what you said about Kevin Falk. It's fine. Yeah. I wanted to get back to something we were talking about with Matt Castle during the last caller. And you mentioned how this was a nice good test for him because it was on the road in a hostile environment. And I agree. Also, I think, too, the big thing is when you come off the bench in a situation like he did against Kansas City, I think the adrenaline is flowing. It may be a little bit easier to function in that scenario than to have the whole week now to prepare knowing you're the starter and having to deal with all the invariables that come up during the week.
And he talked about the butterflies, the anxiety.
Right.
There's a different approach than when you're just thrown in there. And this week he had to deal, and you made fun of me, he had to deal with everything that comes with being a starting quarterback, the media, the people calling,
yes,
you know, all these things. And he passed for 1 week with flying colors.
I thought it was fine, and I think that, like you said, is a big deal. You don't have any time to have butterflies when Brady is rolling around on the ground, and it's like, hey, Matt, you're in.
Let's be honest. He didn't think there was any chance that soon in the year he'd be taking over Tom Brady.
No, not at all.
You, in your mind, you know you're the backup, and it could happen, but
you're not expecting
in
week one. You
right,
just don't expect
the
it.
The explosion of opening day, he hadn't played in the I don't think Matt Castle in any way thought that was going to be the time.
No time to think about it. Just get out there and throw. And that's probably the best thing for
did
him.
Did it last week, and then this week he came in and on the road, hostile environment, everything he had to deal with, I thought he did a fine job. And now he just needs to build on it because that's the important thing.
Todd Porter says, did you see DeSean Jackson fumbling the ball before he crossed the goal line? It was as bad as Patrick Pass dropping the ball when he got the hammy.
I've fallen, and I can't get up.
I actually haven't seen it yet.
No,
I've heard people talk about it. And I actually saw them showing DeSean Jackson in the high school All-Star game diving into the end zone but not getting the ball into the end zone before he lost control of it. So it'll be interesting. What are you looking for, G? The remote? I don't know. It's your studio, not mine.
Wait, why are you switching channels for?
He's probably going to try and find me the DeSean Jackson play, would be my guess.
Can we put the cheerleader video on again?
Easy. Wagon rut.
Larry the Drunk chimes in and says, perhaps the reason Hansen's so poor is the fact he now realizes he actually has to kick rather than sit on the sidelines watching Brady throw it 60 yards to Moss on third down instead. Valid point. Never really punted last year. Now all of a sudden he's out there, what, how many punts? Five, six punts in 2 weeks? Probably took him 10 weeks to reach six last year.
But
no excuse still for not being able to do his job.
I really think his job is in serious jeopardy, not only because he's kicked poorly, but there's going to be an emphasis on the field position game. We talked about it with the returns. We talked about it with Gustowski. All those things are going to be very important moving forward. And the small sample we have of Hansen this season is not fitting in line with a team that's looking to be conservative, win on defense and special teams. So if they can find a more suitable replacement, although I know Bill sometimes is hesitant because of changing the holder duties with the field goal kicker, I still think Hansen's position on this team is a bit strenuous. I can't speak.
Strenuous?
Tenuous.
Tenuous?
Gary having some.
Oh, yeah. It's 127. Eat that pastrami. Paul's
Do I get the go-ahead from Gary, the head of this show? Thumbs up. Eat his sub. Paul's not coming, and he never will.
I'm the host, so just go ahead and eat it. Also,
yeah, you're the reason people are complaining about this show.
Yeah, well, screw the complainers. Wes in Richmond, see what's happening here? Richmond, Virginia says, a few observations about the defense through 2 weeks. It looked much better than they did in the 07, but I still have a few concerns. Okay, let's hear them. Mayo has looked good, not great, but somewhat of a liability in pass coverage.
Oh, no!
You want the rest of it?
No.
I took one bite. I'll cut the little piece off.
Don't worry about it.
We actually had set the under over at one. I was going to eat your sub because I didn't get one today.
We gave you an extra half hour. Two gender really dropped the ball today. We had like two orders come in. Half of them were
You
got to
be proud of me.
Freddie, all flustered.
I didn't get a sub.
Freddie, I'll
have the rest of it. I didn't get a sub, and I waited a full hour.
No.
Okay.
He's not coming to TV.
Because we are doing a terrible job. No, I know. He told me.
It's you and I.
You guys are doing a terrible job?
Yes, apparently.
Terrible show.
I heard you guys are doing all right.
That's
the word upstairs.
I thought you said I was all right.
I heard you guys
from Ferreira, no doubt.
Somebody emailed in and said,
because we're not talking football, that's why.
Somebody emailed in and said, we're running neck and neck with your one-man show, the worst ever.
Nice. You know what? As more time goes by, Gary, that's slipping lower and lower on the list. No.
Our pal, Wes.
Still.
I still think this show is better.
Still first and foremost on the unlistenable scale?
Yeah.
How could you guys not have anything to talk about?
No, we've had plenty.
I think we've had too much to talk about, and we've been a bit hectic all over the place.
Yeah, lesbian weddings, Catherine Tapp, and we've kind of danced around.
I think Paul
topics.
Was referencing the Patriots.
Oh, the football discussions. Yeah, we talked a little bit about the game, too.
Chris Ferreira made the mistake of telling me he thought last couple weeks our show's been bland because they've been too much football, and we needed to mix it up and have more tangents, so I did my best to make the webmaster happy by having more tangents
in the
show.
God forbid you talk football when the franchise quarterback goes down with a season-ending knee injury.
A lot of people down on Mike Parenti, too.
Yeah, I just been getting hammered
PMSing
because I had PMS last week.
Me too.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate that.
What?
I played your role last week. I took the bullet for you last week, and now you're coming back at me like this.
You took the bullet for me? I got killed last week.
Yeah, but you were very quiet one of those days last week.
I was very quiet on Sunday.
And I stepped in. I played Mr. A-hole, and now all of a sudden I'm the most hated guy in PFW in progress. Possibly of all time.
I had some issues last Tuesday.
I know. Anyway, our pal Wes here says that Mayo has looked good but not great, somewhat of a liability in pass coverage. Any thoughts on that? Because I haven't seen anything. He said there were two plays in the Jets game that are cause for concern. On one play in the first half, Favre completed for a 10-15-yard pass. On the play, Mayo followed the back all the way into the hole before realizing it was a pass.
Yeah, he was chasing Cotchery or Coles, one of the receivers, as they crossed the middle. But my guess is that was zone coverage, first of all. He wasn't man up with a wide receiver in that case from his middle linebacker spot. And I think he's looked pretty good.
I think so. He's played every
snap. The one thing I've talked about is all his tackles are solos. When he sees a guy and decides he's going to tackle that guy, he tackles him. He makes the play.
He's not diving on the pile.
So I think he had like six or seven solos the first week, had seven by the game book this week. I'm sure that number got upped a little bit when the coaches did their statistics. But I think he's looked pretty good. And I certainly don't think he's... And back in the days when Chad Brown and Monty Beisel were out there, the liability
that's
that was them showed up immediately.
Yes.
I can't remember saying, oh, wow, Mayo just overmatched out there.
Yeah, I know the play you guys are talking about with Cotchery, that he was kind of trailing from behind. That was a little bit downfield. I actually think he's been excellent in pass coverage in the flats.
When he sniffs it out, he's a freaking missile.
And that's the same thing we saw at training camp.
Mike, right.
You and I were at one of them.
Yeah.
I think the indoor one, or it might have been Eric, but I thought it was you. Just flying.
Thanks. There's a bit of a shot.
Thank you. Well, it was a weekend, so it must have been you, because Eric
doesn't
work
on weekends.
Was it the
short, bald guy?
That would be me.
A short, bald, gay guy. You're not gay.
No, well, he didn't say anything about that.
I didn't mention gay.
Goes without saying with Eric.
Go on, Paul.
I thought that he does a really nice job of sniffing those plays out quickly and really gets to the ball in a hurry and makes the play. I mean, it's not like he's in the area, they complete a screen, and sometimes he misses them. He makes the play. He gets out there and he stops the guy. He did it a couple of times to Washington, I think, on Sunday. I think he's been pretty good. I mean, this is the first two games the guy's playing. I think he's been overall, he's been excellent.
And Wes says he thinks our expectations are fairly high.
For?
Mayo.
The number 10 overall pick in the draft.
And he's played every snap.
Drafted higher than
Patrick
Willis.
Apparently it's not too high. Also, he asked us, I think this is a very good question, and it should be addressed. Will Merriweather start ahead of Sanders before the season is over? A strong possibility. Has Sanders looked good? Because Wes agrees he has not looked great.
I'm going to say no.
He won't start over Sanders?
Sanders stunk in week one. He was very good, I thought, this week.
So he's better.
He's 1-1 on the season. I do not think he will start over James Sanders.
He thinks Merriweather is on the rise. I don't know about on the rise. He had a very good camp, and I thought we all thought he was more of a vocal leader, and he had stepped up and assumed some responsibility, but that does not always translate onto the field.
He also caught the ball.
He also caught the ball Sunday, which is big.
But, you know, he might be on the rise, and as he should be, going into year two, and based on his late season development last year when he became, you know, a regular contributor on defense. But Bill, to me, seems pretty comfortable with what James Sanders is as a starter on his team, and has a decent sampling now of what he is. And in this day and age of 5 DBs is sort of your starting defense or is a high percentage of your defense, I think Merriweather will start when they start with 5 DBs and will play when they have 5 DBs, but I think there's going to be plenty of times when you see Harrison and Sanders as your two safeties. Rodney Harrison got picked, by the way, on that play.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit on the touchdown when he also tried to sell it and do one of those hockey things, but there was definitely contact there. Now, Patriots get away with that all the time, so I'll say they're even on that little change. But he tried to sell a penalty, tried to steal one there, and didn't get it.
Josh in Arlington chimes back about the bet, says, you talk to your wife, and we'll see if we can come to some kind of an agreement where I could feel comfortable you would follow through. He tries to send us
What's
a link.
Obama-McCain. I got McCain. He's got Obama. Right now, the deal is a Adalys Thomas Authentic up against a $250 gift certificate to any place of my choosing. Told him I had to check with my wife. That's a big bet.
Wow.
Now, he sends us
I'm
a
really
link.
Confident in McCain. I think he's going
to
win.
Yeah, I'm just the fact that you have absolutely no balls to make that bet.
I know, seriously.
No balls.
Astounding to me.
I'm a corporation, and we have two presidents, joint presidents, Deidre and Andy. We don't make any decisions unilaterally.
You should know.
No, you're the bride,
leader.
And she's the groom. That's what it is. Now, he sends us a link.
Speaking of brides and grooms, where's Eric?
Does he's off today. On Tuesdays?
Oh, that's right.
Our friend sent us a link.
Points out the other guy that's missing.
No, I just wondering where he was. I
got to tell you though, I've been hooked on the Olympics.
I wasn't assuming he was missing. I wanted to know where he was. Like
I would ask. I would ask Todd
at his mom's house. I don't know.
I'm sorry.
Tuesday.
Send us another link for that Pro Shop jersey because the link he sent did not work. We're trying to get a pricing on that jersey to see if it's comparable.
They're like $270
to $250
or something, aren't
they? Need a price.
And I'll get my little
Register
discount.
Register 5. I need
Flanders
a price.
Flanders is the only useless person here.
It's true. Flanders running around getting that Pro Shop in order. The new Pro Shop is open here at the hall at Patriot Place at Gillette Stadium.
Okay,
which, by the way,
another inappropriate email.
Is one of those his housekeeper?
I don't know if that's one of his maids with the C cups.
Oh well,
the subject
two
line
girls
read,
in there that could have C cups.
Brazilian dongs are too big, have some wagon ruts here.
Anyway, I need to point out that the hall at Patriot Place is having their ceremony Saturday.
Gary is crying.
I should have just taken the last half hour off.
3 p.m., Gillette Stadium.
No, you've brought sanity.
The Plaza. All right, I'm done. nobody's going to listen. I'm not going to do it.
Go ahead.
No.
I'm done.
I'm good with that.
Fine.
What's next, Mike?
Steve
Stacey
from Ontario.
James, if no one shows up, that's Paul Perillo's fault.
Steve from Ontario says, I'm cautiously optimistic about Lamont Jordan's play in Sunday's game against the Jets. We heard all week how the Jets have improved their run defense and how they shut down Miami's run game. I thought Jordan ran well in his carries and was wondering, do you think he could emerge as a real run threat or are the Jets' alleged run defense just terrible? I don't think he's on.
I actually think both of those things are true. I think Jordan can be a valuable guy, and I think the Jets' run defense is much improved.
Yeah, not a starter. Andy thinks he's going to be a starter.
I think he can start.
And I'm not so sure he's going to be a starter.
I think Lawrence Maroney could be in danger of losing carries and losing starts.
Let me give you this, and I don't know if you guys already talked about this, but based on the way you have talked about the show so far, I'm going to assume not because it's football-related. I agree, Andy, with exactly where you're going, and I think I'm on the same page as you with Maroney.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was somewhat of a punishment.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Yeah, we did.
Okay, and so I don't need to get into
all the major issues, Paul. We may not have stayed long.
Upon the big topics, Paul.
I think it was one of those deals where he came out in the first half and, you know, my shoulder's bothering me, and Bill said, okay, and then he wanted to get back in, and Bill, I think Bill's tired of that. Mm-hmm. I think he's tired of Maroney and Benjamin Watson not being ready to play physically more often than not. I think, you know, and I'm not trying to say these guys aren't hurt. I'm not saying that at all, so please don't criticize. But I think that there's some frustration
they hurt,
level.
Or are they injured?
Exactly. I think there's some frustration level on the part of the head coach about those two guys, and I think it showed on the field, in my opinion. So, totally my opinion, total speculation. And I think
he has an option.
I think, Andy, that's what you were talking about.
He has an option now.
Yes.
He might not have always had an option. He's got an option. His name's Lamont Jordan.
But I also thought the Jets' run defense was much better Sunday than it was last year.
Right.
You know, the only time the Patriots really ran the ball really effectively was, you know, to the Patriots' credit, when they closed the game out.
And but when Lamont Jordan was doing the running.
For three plus quarters,
Sammy
I
Morris
thought the Jets
had a
were pretty
game.
Good.
Morris
Lawrence
Maroney
well
had a tough
and
game.
I'm down on Morris a little bit. I think he got off to a great start last year. People, I think, have a little too high hopes for him.
I would have had higher hopes if they had blocked Kerry Rhodes. Poor Sammy Morris gets the ball
play.
At the same time Kerry Rhodes got him.
That was one of those that you see all the time, like you know, LaDainian Tomlinson's got like four carries in a row for like 48 yards, and they put in like, you know, the backup, and then he gets smashed in the backfield.
Right.
First play.
Two of Sammy Morris's carries were that one and the one where Castle didn't know whether he was playing for Palisades High or Chatworth or whoever at that point.
I think part of Jordan's success had to do with the fact that he came in the third quarter fresh against a more tired defense.
And I think that was the plan.
Could be.
I think that was a specific part of the game plan.
Is that going to translate if he's getting carries in the first quarter of games where everybody's fresh? See, you don't know if it's going to be the same level of success.
Well, I'm not saying that.
Boy, you're
Jordan,
putting a lot more of the success on his freshness than I would.
Right.
No, I'm
not
just saying Jordan's
going to
go out and rush
pretty
for
good player
1,300
now.
Yards. I'm saying that he might be getting the look earlier in games than Maroney.
That's a strong possibility.
If Bill is growing, if we're correct on our speculation, and Bill is growing kind
we
of impatient.
We generally are.
Yeah, whatever.
By
Did we
the
give
way,
out the player of the game yet? Did you guys give out your Patriots player of the game to Cecil B. DeMille?
I don't know what that means.
I don't even know what that means.
The film director?
Oh, we didn't actually name by department who had criticized us.
No, the Cecil B. DeMille Award.
Oh, we did discuss
Paul's
that,
still
actually.
Mad.
Yes.
Got into a fight with Cecil B. DeMille.
Whatever.
It's fine. We discussed
evidently
it.
Evidently, that UCLA film school dropout really hitting hard.
Ooh.
Paul not happy. Throwing bombs from afar now.
I even threw the bottle into the wrong barrel.
I already did that once. Said I got criticized. Break time.
Patriot Place, New England's first and only super regional lifestyle and entertainment center, is now open right next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Massachusetts. The home of the New England Patriots and the New England Revolution is now the home of New England's most exciting entertainment and shopping destination, featuring Circuit City, Bed Bath & Beyond, Christmas tree shops, Off-Broadway shoes, Staples, and New England's first Bass Pro Shops. Patriot Place has something for your shopping needs. And coming soon to Patriot Place is the first CBS Scene Restaurant and Bar, a four-star hotel, showcase live entertainment venue, and long-awaited hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Patriot Place will soon be the home to more than 70 shopping, entertainment, and dining experiences unlike any other in New England. Visit patriot-place.com for more information, and enter the grand opening sweepstakes for the opportunity to win a $10,000 Visa gift card for a Patriot Place shopping spree. A once-in-a-lifetime experience every day at Patriot Place. Everyone wins.
This is former quarterback Steve Grogan
and former linebacker Steve Nelson.
We want to tell you about the game with the greats.
Are you one of those old diehard fans who remembers their playing days, like the 1985 Super Bowl or the snowplow kick?
Maybe you just want to meet the newest members of the Patriot Hall of Fame, like Ben Coates or my good friend Stanley Morgan.
And Andre Tippett, one of my linebacking brothers. He'll be there too.
You think he'll bring his gold jacket with him?
I hope so. I can't wait to see it on him.
If you're a big-time fan, you won't want to miss the Game with the Greats. It's happening on October 5th at Gillette Stadium when the current Patriots are away at San Francisco.
Get your tickets now at patriots.com/alumni.
Hey, that's pretty good, huh, Steve?
Yeah, we still got it. We should call ESPN. We could be the next Mike and Mike.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sack Attack sausages, First Down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sack Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, First Down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
And now, a blog reading from Dan Tugender. Tugender.
August 15th, 2008. Do's or don'ts? Tonsorial tragedy for the rookies today as the vets gave them their horrendous haircuts. A Patriots training camp tradition. From what we've seen so far, linebacker Sean Crable has one of the worst new...
For other blogs on your favorite team, log on to Patriots.com. They're on there somewhere.
Welcome back to the stretch run of PFW in progress.
Gary, I think
Eric wrote that one.
I was going
to
say.
We've gotten down to the bottom of the problem, though. You're putting too much on Tugender's plate. He's not capable of doing all this. He screwed up the show, screwed up the lunch order. Not a coincidence that you've made him do all these readings.
That he can't read.
Yeah.
Last week
we've wasted an hour and a half of time for this man who obviously can't read.
Last week, Andy says, Tugender, what do you do? Now he's got
smeal
too much
mainly?
On his plate.
I asked Gary if we could do a live firing on the air. Fire Tugender on the air. We'll have HR come down, have him fill out his exit interview and cancel his insurance and get him out of here.
By the way, your jersey, $249.99. You get a third off. Stop being a pansy. Make the bet. You have an $80 increase.
Still, again, I'm going to have to buy a $175 jersey.
You're rich. You don't have to pay for a house, right?
That's a good point.
So just make the bet.
It's a good point.
I'll talk to my wife, and I'll get back to you on Thursday.
Plus, special savings for an order over $75. Shipping is free. You're paying nothing if you lose. This is not.
I wasn't paying either way because I was going to hand it to Carol and say, ship this to some guy.
God bless you. So what else, guys? We have 16 minutes, thank God, left in this.
I think it's been a pretty good show. Why are you saying it's a bad show?
Because I'm getting hammered here. That's why.
By who?
Well, you actually,
the World Wide Web.
You said it was a terrible show.
Yeah, you actually did yourself,
too. Listens to what
too.
I say. I'm the guy that says stupid things all the time.
That's true.
You know, I said I would have cut Castle 2 years ago. Falk can't play
What
anymore.
Were you guys most surprised by on Sunday? Or maybe surprised
the win?
Little, but most impressed with?
Steven Gostkowski when he turned around and kicked it through the end zone the other way.
Anyone? Yeah, I was going to go with special teams play in general.
Special
now,
teams play was real
I know the punt return game wasn't a function of Hansen punting well. He just happened to kick it through the end zone. But to limit them to one return the entire game and have it be a 20-yard return in which Bubba Ventrone makes a great play on special teams.
Plus Kevin Falk.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Falk consistently set up on the other side.
Ran like I haven't seen him run in years.
Gostkowski 4-for-4 on field goals, 5 touchbacks, kicks 6 balls into the end zone. When you have a team, now when you have a situation like they have now where the quarterback's not there and you need other ways to win games, special teams and field position is going to play a big factor. And that's a great first step on Sunday.
I thought defensively it was a 03-04 flashback.
Really?
Yeah, I did. I thought the defense was dominant in that game. Now, I think the Jets helped them a little, but not much. I thought the defense really, really controlled that game. And I think that's what I was most surprised by because I thought offensively they could do what they did. And I'm not going to say I thought Castle was going to play as error-free as he did. He made virtually no mistakes in that game. Maybe an underthrown pass here, maybe a sack that maybe he didn't have to take there. But overall, that's pretty solid work from Castle. I thought the offense could play something like that and be in the teens. I didn't know the defense could shut down a team completely the way they did you know, Brett Favre and the Jets. Now, I know the Jets are, you know, not exactly the Chargers or the Colts on offense, but I thought they were better than that, and the Patriots made them look, I thought, pretty bad. I was impressed defensively. The front seven, you were talking about it the whole time, Andy. Ty Warren, Richard Seymour.
They were all great. Seymour gets credit because he ends up with a sack and some big plays, but Warren was just dominant without showing up really in any highlight films or any.
Warren had a great game.
Yeah, he did.
And if you're, you know, I've talked about Vrabel and Thomas on the outside as bookends. If you're getting Vrabel, Thomas, Warren, Seymour, all four playing at a high to borderline dominant level, this defense is going to be tough for anybody to do anything against.
Yeah.
And, Paul, I got a fresh email we just got I want to read. Okay. It's for you. It's from Kieran in Ireland, our good friend.
Did you make fun of him, or is he your good friend? He's my good friend. Okay.
And we also have a new good friend, Ping Pong. Just keep that name in mind. A guy was offended that we don't, like, greet him as a regular, and he writes all the time. He's a 14-year-old, believes he's the youngest regular emailer, had to tell us his nickname. So that
because
we would remember
Fred
him.
Mispronounces his name.
Oh.
And his nickname is Ping Pong, and it has something to do with a ping pong table and a girl. So,
14?
Big fan of a 14-year-old with that nickname. So, let's remember Ping Pong for all future emails.
Not that we condone that sort of behavior.
But back to Kieran.
They played ping pong. What's the big deal?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I can't say it. Forget.
Let the ripping come
in. P.S. Paul, no more, please, no more appearances on Patriots Today. You look desperately uncomfortable on camera, and you look like you've been poured into those blue shirts, and somebody forgot to say when.
Wow. That's going to leave a mark.
Just in, though. We just had to read it.
Right.
We haven't read that yet.
Yeah, I know. I didn't read that Sunday.
I thought it was a good one from Kieran. Okay. Well thought out.
Okay.
He knows something a little about pouring stuff and not knowing to say when. You know, those drunks over in Ireland, they don't
stop the
alcohol.
I thought he was your buddy. Now you're taking shots at him.
That's what I do. All right. Okay, Mike, go ahead. Proceed.
I can't really follow up the being poured into a blue shirt thing, but okay, the bet. I was not aware of any one-third discount. If he gets that much off, we need to recalibrate it to the AD jersey for a $200 gift certificate. Andy would still hold a $20 or so advantage, not that he has a chance of winning. Hey, Paul, glad you're here. Andy and Mike were making my ears bleed.
Wow.
That's what I'm talking about.
I'm going to make your pocket bleed when you're buying me that gift certificate.
This is the crap.
Make it something else.
This is the crap.
Eric's not here.
Thankfully, we have strippers who is actually feeding us ideas. Strippers ask us, should we fear the Bills?
Well, they're 2-0.
I think we should respect the Bills a little bit more.
Are they the top threat now? Are they the top threat in the AFC East?
After the Patriots, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
I should say top threat to the Patriots.
I mean, based on what I saw from the Jets on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And now, I think the Jets might be heard from at some point during the season. I think Favre, you know, I was listening to a lot of the New York stuff and in the aftermath of the game, and they're still talking about they're really holding him back because he doesn't really know the breadth of the offense yet. That might have had something to do with it. I think they might improve, you know, with all those newcomers. It might take some time. But Buffalo, man, I tell you, that's two good, solid wins. They rolled at home, and then they went on the road at a desperate Jacksonville who had lost their first game.
Yeah.
That's a good win.
And if you're going to look at the two 2-0 teams in the division, who has the two more impressive wins?
Sure.
You'd have to give it to the Bills.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, they played two playoff-quality teams, whereas the Patriots beat two teams that, okay, you give them credit for winning the games, but they might be against two bad non-playoff also-rans.
You take Kansas City, what they followed that up with in their home opener.
A team that's trying to lose games they couldn't beat.
I mean, they followed it up in their home opener by getting completely thrashed.
Team just shows up and plays. And
by Oakland.
Embarrassing.
Which, by the way, does he still have a job?
Yes.
Yeah.
I actually think he was just on one of these TVs on a press conference.
I'm
still wants to stay there.
I'm gaining respect for him.
I like him.
By the way he's handling this.
And still, in 5 years, he'll be ready for coaching gig again.
No, he's sticking to his guns here. I think he's going to come out. I think he comes away from
let
this.
Let him win a couple
of
these games before he ends up getting fired, Andy. And he might get more respect in NFL circles than you think.
What does he do?
What does he
do? No.
He's like two-gender.
What is it you do?
He was an offensive assistant at USC, right?
Yes.
Okay. No, I just went like, normally you know a guy was a defensive-minded guy.
I knew what you meant.
I didn't know who Lane Kiffin was before he was the head coach of the Raiders. He was an offensive assistant, so I was just, where does he end up? Maybe he'll be a coordinator somewhere.
I agree with the point about
the Bills.
He's never
been a coordinator.
I agree with what you said about the Jets and Favre learning the offense, because it's pretty clear they haven't completely opened the playbook. First and goal to three, and they run three handoffs. I mean, I think in week 9.
That was terrible.
I think in week 9, maybe, they would do something different
or
be a little
somewhere
bit more
else
comfortable.
On a third down, I remember Paul bitching and moaning, he's Brett Favre, run a
boot
or something.
They just threw in the flat, and they didn't even go for the necessary yards.
So.
Well, I just think that and Bill does this all the time, and whether it's Bill or Josh, you know, whoever gets the credit, I think the best play down there is the best down to throw on down there is first. And I think you saw Brady get a lot of touchdown passes on play actions on first down. I think that's the one that's the quick hitter that's there right off the go, and it's an easy throw and catch. And I just think the Jets did themselves a disservice on that.
Since
this
is a terrible show and I need to inject more football into it, I want to pose a question. We've talked a lot about Castle. You know, we had the call, if he's good, what happens, where does he, if he's how that plays out. What about Josh McDaniels? If he's good this year, if the offense is good, now you go 1 year where he had no receivers and they were good.
What's good, though?
If they make the playoffs, if they, and their offense is good.
But if they make
good.
The playoffs like Sunday, with a bunch of wins like Sunday, where you're kicking a bunch of field goals
and winning the offense improves a little as the year goes on. You're not putting up record numbers, but your quarterback's throwing for 200 yards, you're rushing for 100 yards, and you're scoring a couple touchdowns.
I think he writes his ticket.
Is this the, I mean, then, do people then go, well, it's basically the thing Brady had going last year. The first year he had no talent receiver, and he put together an offense that went to an AFC title game. The next year he had talent, and he put together the best offense the league ever saw. Then he lost a quarterback and had to go with an inexperienced guy, and he still maintains an offense and called plays on a playoff offense. Is there a chance this is the year, or has he reached the level where he's going to be a candidate now from now on, and it depends on when he just decides to take the bull by the horns and go with it?
Me personally, I think the first part.
Not to mention last week when Bill was asked about him, he now said he's one of the best coaches I've ever worked with, I believe.
Friday?
Yeah. Whatever he was, he put Josh McDaniels at the top of the list with, you know, other guys that have been on the list are Jim Schwartz, who everybody says is at the top of the...
Schwartzy
getting a job. Nick Saban has been somewhere in that grouping of the best coaches he's ever worked with. And for Josh McDaniels at this age, and if he compounds it with an impressive season here on offense, I got to think that people are going to just keep knocking down the door and... You know,
I agree.
It doesn't matter.
I think if they have a reasonable amount of success on offense this year, I think that he has, he can write his own ticket. He can go
wherever sooner or later.
He might do the same thing he did last year and just say, I'm not ready. I don't want to go yet.
But last year, now I don't know how the conversations go. They might have called and he might have picked up the phone and said, not interested, and hung up. Or you might have a feeling based on talking to somebody.
They don't really want you.
They're going to interview you. They might even want you, but they want you. You're going to make $750,000 a year as the head coach.
Yeah.
He's going to at some point reach a level where somebody goes, he's the best young coach on the planet. Here's $4 million a year to come be our coach or some, you know,
I gotta go
change your life money kind of thing.
I agree with you. That could happen.
And I think he deserves it. If he does it this year with what I said, it doesn't have to be great. But if he puts together a above average offense, then you know what? I go, that guy's good.
Now, does the flip side kill him?
Doesn't kill him.
Like really bad offense. Not offense like Sunday. Sunday was good. You know,
if it just falls apart,
they're struggling to hit 10.
Yeah.
They're struggling to hit 10 every week, then
he's hurt. But not killed because of the point in his career because he's so young, he's still got a ways to go. I just think he'll be more boosted by the positive than hurt by the negative because everybody assumes it's going to fall apart because they had a guy who didn't start.
That's age-related.
Right.
You get a big
still
boost
a young coach.
At a young age from a big-time
performance.
That's
age-related.
I was waiting for you there.
Not we got another email. Eric's dealing with.
One last email, by the way, from William, who was talking about the Pete Prisco quote that we didn't get to, and he actually sends it to us, and I don't think I scrolled down all the way, but I apologize. A little back and forth going with William about your claim, and I agree with you, by the way, that not everybody is writing off the Patriots in the national media, which you point out with factual evidence. He takes this one Pete Prisco quote, and Pete Prisco writes, "The Patriots are done. Belichick might scrap and claw them to 7 victories, and he'll talk the talk about how there's a lot of football left, but making the playoffs sounds like a stretch."
Pete Prisco is the Indy Hart of the national media. He says things just to see what people react to it.
Yeah. And William says, "Yup, I'm looking real hard." No, who in their right mind reads CBSSportsLine.com? No, Paul, you are not a hater. You are just wrong.
Not me. I haven't been there in years.
We've really given you a lot in a half hour.
I emailed William back just to let him know that when I said that he'd be hard pressed to find anyone, I didn't actually mean
anyone.
One person.
I didn't mean anyone.
It was kind of one of those generalizations. I think that the overwhelming majority of the national media that I've listened to over the last week and a half now believes the Patriots have a very good shot to make the playoffs and will fight and scratch just the way Prisco said, and find a way to get 10 or 11 wins. I've seen a few, Pete Prisco now being one of them. I told you Deion Sanders said it last week, that think that they're all
Tom
done.
Jackson was a little animated in his discussion.
But Tom Jackson in that discussion
didn't say they can't win.
Yeah, and he also said You guys are telling me there's not any difference between Tom Brady and Matt Castle. And that is what those, what Keyshawn Johnson was saying was there's no difference.
You got two guys on the opposite ends of the spectrum.
He said, you're buying that, I'm not buying that.
He called him Little Bill, I think.
And then he called him Little Bill, I think. Or Baby Bill. Or Baby Belichick or something.
Yeah,
like
something.
That.
He called into question his objectivity.
He didn't say that they're done. He did not say the Patriots are done in that.
Jackson definitely has some shots to fire. Why are you laughing so much?
I don't know. You looked like you got caught off guard there by a pause in the action.
I'm just giving the fans what they want. A little bit of delay in action. To keep listening.
William is a worthy adversary in terms of the back and forth. Because
well played, young William.
He came back and forth, and he came at me a few times, although he didn't exactly answer all the stuff that I had. But
that's the best way to argue.
Oh, yeah.
Just you don't answer the question. You throw out a new bomb.
Exactly. But it was fun. Wasted a good hour the other day, Friday.
Do we have John Rook today?
He came and left. We drove him away. He goes,
Gary,
I can't
left
follow
like,
that crap.
Gary walked out for like 10 minutes.
Gary actually left at one point, too, and said he was leaving
Gary had enough.
It was mostly because I was saying inappropriate words on the air, apparently.
You know that bird that flies around, they call him a swallow?
Oh, God.
Mike was using that phrase over and over again, despite the fact that Gary had just told him not to use it.
But not in the context you were thinking of.
No, like the bird.
Right.
A barn swallow.
Or, you take pills, you have to swallow the pills. Gary chuckles. Like the Midol that one of the readers suggests I should take.
Yeah, based on his last week. I agree with them, though. They want to know if he was done PMSing, and I said, no, that's just the way he is all the time.
Sorry, I had to add a little bit of a resistance to the show. I apologize. Let's just make it the big show of volume 2.0. That's what everybody else wants, right?
But we're nowhere near that.
You would have been if I weren't here. All right, let's go, guys. A nice show today. PFW in progress. I hope I didn't offend anybody too badly. Thanks for listening. Hope you come back tomorrow.